soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
I know we can't look back and undo what happened, but we can look forward, and this program is vital.
Deborah Burlingame, her name, on the NSA's terror surveillance program. She lost a brother on September 11th, the Pentagon plane. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez on the hot seat at Senate hearings today in Washington.
When Democratic Senator Dick Durbin asked about news reports indicating thousands of innocent Americans had been wiretapped, Gonzalez would give no detail but said the spies at NSA are only looking for terrorists.
This is a very narrowly tailored program.
But how do I know that?
In part, Gonzalez said, because some congressional leaders have been briefed, but Durbin asked if they're allowed to say what they know.
This is a very classified, highly classified
program.
They
are sworn to secrecy.
But they also...
If they found the most egregious violation of civil rights taking place in this program, they are sworn not to say one word about it.
Gonzalez said there is no abuse and the program is legal. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Loud shenanigans from an Al-Qaeda defendant in court in Alexandria, Virginia. Zacharias Moussaoui was quiet and composed for 1 minute as he was led into the courtroom, whereupon the confessed terror conspirator began to shout, to ridicule the court, his lawyers, and America.
The judge called the marshals over to take him out of the courtroom. He said, I am not resisting. And then he said, they are not my lawyers. I am Al-Qaeda. They do not represent me. They are Americans. And as he left the courtroom, he said, this trial is a circus.
Pool reporter for the day, Gene Meserve. 4 times today, Moussaoui's outburst got him tossed out of the courtroom. 1,200 acres of national forest in Orange County, California, near Los Angeles, is burning, fed by 35-mile-an-hour Santa Ana winds. Hundreds of homes are being evacuated. Jane Ellen Smith lives in Corona, close enough to smell the smoke.
Hey, guys, come look out the window at the smoke. I've been out in the yard thinking, what a beautiful day, and did not realize that it was apparently that close to us. So, I see a helicopter right now making a drop.
There are red flag fire danger warnings posted from Santa Barbara to Mexico. Another memorial service in Atlanta for the widow of Martin Luther King Jr. Oprah Winfrey says she remembers Coretta Scott King.
She recognized that my generation and those to come carry the weight and the fulfillment of his legacy.
King's funeral is tomorrow at a Baptist church where King's daughter is the preacher. Sounds like an oxymoronic name, a dark light beer, but that's what Anheuser-Busch has come up with. Michelob Ultra Amber, introduced to the nation during yesterday's Super Bowl football game. It reportedly has a little more kick and a few more calories and carbs than the regular Ultra. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 5 points today to close at 10,798. The Nasdaq lost almost 4 points, and oil prices hit $65.11 a barrel. That's down 26 cents. This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents Jerry Rice.
Starting at wide receiver.
I'm ready for some football.
All-time record holder and Tiger Balm's biggest fan.
Huh?
Especially Tiger Balm's new pain-relieving patch.
The patch works for me.
Just apply the advanced hydrogel patch and Tiger Balm goes deep. Deep into aching muscles and joints. Tiger Balm's been around almost as long as...
Hey, watch it, pal.
Number 80, Jerry Rice.
Take a tip from me. Go for the Balm, Tiger Balm, and put the Tiger in your team.
Available at drugstores everywhere.
Every day, your company's computers are being attacked
by spam, spyware, and viruses
designed to invade your business and compromise your privacy.
And there's only one way to stop it.
The Barracuda Network's Spam and Spyware Firewalls. An easy-to-install device that will ensure your business's privacy and safety. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free trial. The Barracuda Network's Spam and Spyware Firewalls. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free trial. Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
A French woman has met the media and put her best face forward. CBS News correspondent Elaine Cobb says it was her best new face.
Since the operation, she says, I have a face like everyone else. For 6 months, Isabelle Dinois wore a mask in public. Now she has a nose, lips, and chin that once belonged to someone else. But she says the more she can smile and grimace, The more she feels this new face is her own. Now she says she's looking forward to leaving the hospital and living a normal life again with her daughters. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Amiens, France.
At the University of Nebraska at Lincoln, psychology professor Calvin Garbin is loading his lectures into iPod-sized chunks so students can download and take their professor with them. They can listen and re-listen to parts that might be confusing. And he says they can do it anywhere, not just while sitting in front of the computer like he used to do it. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
No judges, no singing, no annoying host. Instead, do you hear that? That's what you'll be doing this Tuesday. Because ABC is inviting you to a two-hour comedy event, starting with an all-new episode of According to Jim that's just laugh-out-loud funny.
Holy man! Wow!
It all begins this Tuesday at 8, 7 Central, only on ABC. Brought to you in part by Dove Body Wash.
Ever wish upon a star?
Not lately.
Open your Valentine's present.
Wow, you named a star after me?
Let's wish on it. Wish for us.
It's the best Valentine's gift ever. For $54, International Star Registry will record your star name in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office and send you a beautiful gift package. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. That's 800-282-3333 or starregistry.com.
Let's wish for forever.
I love you.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. One of those beautiful, warm winter days along the Pacific coastline. And hey, surf's up. They've announced tomorrow is the Mavericks Surf Contest at Half Moon Bay. Kicks off at 8 in the morning. And here on the Peter B. Collins Show, we have 3 hours of live, unrehearsed, unscripted conversation for you this afternoon. You're invited to join that conversation whenever the urge strikes. Our toll-free number is 1-888-579-2540. On the Central Coast, it's a local call, and you save me a nickel if you call us at 831-899-5792. Later on this hour, Tyson Slocum will join us from Public Citizen. We'll take a look at the oil and gas picture, including the president's announcement last week that we're addicted to Earl. But didn't really mean it, that we're going to back off from our dependence on Middle Eastern oil. Speaking of the Middle East, one of the experts on that who briefs us occasionally is Professor Stephen Zunis, a professor of politics at the University of San Francisco. He'll be joining us in the 4 o'clock segment today. And then we're going to kick off our free speech zone starting at 4:30 with a conversation with my producer, Matt Renner, about the prospect of reinstating the draft in the United States of America. We also will talk about the NSA hearings that Arlen Specter convened before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. Some pretty sharp criticism from Democrats and Republicans. That's refreshing to see. And our Tommy Panic, the Peter B. Collins low-budget undercover investigative reporter, checks in from Motown. He's got Super Bowl debris, and he'll share that with us between 5 and 6 this afternoon. It's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Joining us first up is Jameson Foser, J-Mo Foser from Media Matters for America. He and Paul Waldman alternate and visit with us here on Monday afternoons. And J-Mo, since we don't want to embarrass Paul, I'll just tell you that your colleague has a book that's coming out very soon. I got an advance uncorrected proof, and I promise not to sell it. But it's called Being Right is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. And it looks like a very good tome, and I look forward to interviewing him when the embargo is off that.
I'm sure he looks forward to it as well.
Good. How are you today, J-Mo?
I'm doing well.
First up, let's take a look at the coverage of the President's State of the Union message last Tuesday. And you wrote an excellent piece that's available at MediaMatters.org. Analyzing response from the main media outlets. And if you had to give him a letter grade, it would be?
Give him a D, I guess.
Yeah.
The basic problem, as it almost always is with the media's coverage of Bush, is that they didn't correct his false claims. And, in fact, they repeated them without noting that they're inaccurate, most notably on the NSA domestic spying operation, We saw a lot of media outlets actually point to what Bush said and say that he gave a vigorous or strong defense of it and essentially praise him and convey the impression that he had done a great job in beating back criticism. In fact, if you looked at what he said, he just made a series of false claims. He said Congress was fully briefed. Congress wasn't fully briefed. His statements were demonstrably inaccurate in many cases, and the media points to that those statements not as something that's inaccurate, but rather as an indication that he's doing a good job of defending the program. It's really extraordinary, but that's the kind of thing we've seen from the media and their coverage of Bush for quite a while now.
And the story is clearly one that is in progress. We don't know everything. The hearings might reveal a little bit more this week. But, of course, they have the beautiful response of being able to say that anything that is embarrassing is top secret and would risk lives of American people and also could aid and abet the enemy if it's released. Some of that could be true, but we don't know because we're not in a position to really ascribe what is a fair claim of secrecy and what is a bogus claim designed to protect political misdeeds. But, Jamie, I also feel that the media falsely picked up the president's framing and his attempt at the conciliatory tone. Every year he goes up there, he started it in his very first State of the Union message, and he talks about how he wants to return civility to Washington. And then within seconds, he has poked all of his political opponents figuratively in the eye with either rhetoric or framing or, you know, this time anyone who disagrees with him is an isolationist. And Pat Buchanan has an op-ed that's in circulation today. It's in the San Francisco Chronicle today, in which he takes offense saying, well, gosh, there are only a handful of us, you know, and we hardly have any influence.
Sure, Buchanan also, if that's the op-ed I'm thinking of, took a pretty direct shot at the Bush administration for basically screwing up their foreign policy pretty badly. And Buchanan is a guy who's, as I'm sure your listeners know, a longtime Republican activist who worked for Nixon, worked for Reagan, ran for president a couple times in the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. So, you know, his comments here really reinforce the fact that it's not just liberals and Democrats who have been critical of Bush's handling of things.
Though I'll just hold my nose here because I'm not a big fan of Pat Buchanan, but he does write well. He says, but rather than defend the fruits of his policy, Bush has chosen to caricature critics who warned him, I'll stop holding my nose, against interventionism. Like all politicians in trouble, Bush knows that the best defense is a good offense. Having plunged us into an unnecessary war, Bush now confronts the real possibility of a strategic defeat and a failed presidency. His victory in Iraq, like the wars of Wilson and FDR, has turned to ashes in our mouths. So this is strong criticism from Pat Buchanan, but he does successfully parry the president's claim that isolationists are his opposition.
Absolutely, and you know, that just reminds us that some of the leading critics of Bush's NSA program have been former Republican Congressman Bob Barr, Bruce Fein, who's a very conservative constitutional scholar who worked for the Reagan administration. And yet, when the media reports on these things, they tend to refer to war critics or critics of the NSA's warrantless spying program as liberals or Democrats. In fact, there's a broad range of people who object to these things and have criticized these things. And one of the reasons why it may not have gotten as much traction as it has so far is that the media characterizes, as does the Bush administration, any criticism as just coming from knee-jerk liberals.
Yeah. Also, it's quite notable, we have touched on some of the things the president did say that weren't true. The most glaring omission was any reference whatsoever to the cost of the war in Iraq and the administration's plan within 24 hours of the president's speech to demand another $70 billion for the war in Iraq. He did not find any room to even hint at that in the State of the Union address.
No, and I'm sure some people probably remember that during the 2004 presidential campaign, John Kerry took some heat for comments he made about how expensive the war in Iraq would be, and the Bush administration and the Bush campaign said that he was exaggerating it, and a lot of the media went along with it. And I think the number he used at the time was $200 million, and we're now well up over double that.
Yes,
so at some point I'm wondering when our pundits are going to apologize to John Kerry for getting it wrong and note that he got it right.
JMO, one of the things, and I'm looking through my clippings here, and let's see if I can find this in the president's speech. He made a very interesting connection that, of course, does not exist between the feeling that many Americans have that there's a culture of corruption. Of course, he wouldn't use that loaded Democratic phrase, but he referred to the fact that there are many people who are concerned, and he linked it to cultural issues, and then he said that they're concerned about corrupt officials in Washington and judges, activist judges who want to permit same-sex marriage. Now, those two issues have no connection whatsoever, except perhaps in the minds of, you know, some focus group leader, that they both test really well with certain members of the Republican base. But that was a breathtaking remark, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think that Jack Abramoff was illegally funneling money to supporters of same-sex marriage. That would be pretty big news if he was. But I guess that's what the president wants you to believe.
Yeah. What else would you like to say in summing up about the president's State of the Union address and, in particular, the way the media covered it?
Sure. Well, the other dominant thing that we saw on the coverage was, particularly on the cable news shows, a lot of just mockery of Democrats, a lot of unfounded mockery. Jeff Greenfield on CNN actually ridiculed Bob Wexler, who's a Democratic congressman from Florida. Wexler put out a press release a couple hours before the State of the Union criticizing it, and Greenfield noted that the release went out before the State of the Union was actually delivered and said that he couldn't possibly have read it yet. Well, Jeff Greenfield's been around for a long time. He's worked in politics and in political media for about 40 years. He's apparently the only guy in town who doesn't know that the White House puts out advanced texts of major speeches, and they do it specifically so that people have time to formulate their responses. Jeff Greenfield, I'm quite certain, got a copy of this address before it was delivered in his email box, and yet he was criticizing a Democratic member of Congress, suggesting that the guy couldn't have possibly seen the speech yet. Of course he had seen it. I saw it.
And what did you think about the coverage of the Cindy Sheehan arrest?
Well, you have to cut the cable networks in particular, the folks who are broadcasting live, the cables and the broadcast networks, a little bit of slack in that it was a developing situation and some of the initial reports were wrong, as it turns out. Ed Henry, I remember, said on CNN that Sheehan had been arrested for unfurling a banner, which turned out to be false. I don't know. It's pretty hard to blame them for that, given that it was a live thing developing as it happened.
Right.
One thing that was interesting was that Congressman Bill Young's wife, a Republican congressman, was also removed from the gallery. She was not arrested, despite the fact that she has acknowledged that she verbally berated the officers who pulled her out of the gallery and swore at them. So it's been interesting to see the coverage of Sheehan's arrest, and not many news organizations, though CNN did do this, not many news organizations questioned why the two were treated differently, why Sheehan was arrested and Young's wife was not. And I'm not saying that Young's wife should have been. I think probably neither of them should have been, and neither of them should have been removed from the gallery, for what that's worth. But the treatment does seem to be inconsistent, and there wasn't a lot of attention paid by the media to that inconsistency.
Yeah. We'll pick up in a minute. We've got some clips featuring our favorite offender, recently anyway, Chris Matthews, coming up in the next segment. Jameson Foser, JMO, is with us from Media Matters for America. Their website is a powerful one, trying to, put to bed some of the lies that appear in the mainstream media. You can visit them at mediamatters.org. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get
get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2-1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. Coming up just after 3:30, Tyson Slocum from Public Citizen will join us. We'll talk about the new energy plan from the Bush White House. Yeah, we're addicted to oil, but that 75% reduction of imports by 2025 from the Middle East, just kidding. Don't worry. After all, with all that oil of ours that the Iraqis are sitting on, we're going to have to continue to extract it from the Middle East. One other doozy, J-Mo Fozer, from the State of the Union message was this comment from the president. He said, "I urge the Congress to act responsibly and make the tax cuts permanent." Now, that's a self-canceling sentence if I ever heard one.
It is. It is. The tax cuts, as you know, have provided the bulk of the reason why we're currently running massive budget deficits after finally during the Clinton administration reaching surpluses for the first time in decades.
And TV reporters don't point that out, right? I mean, they permit the president to make all these assertions, but they don't offer any factual context whatsoever.
No, I've seen a lot of stories about Bush calling for the tax cuts to be made permanent. I've seen very few of them point out that doing so would render his goal of cutting the deficit in half by 2009 pretty much impossible.
All right, let's move on now to Chris Matthews. And I have to say, I still am watching that show, but I'm thinking of giving up on Matthews. Last week, I saw this interview with Rudy Giuliani, and Chris could barely restrain himself. He set the whole thing up as saying, well, anybody who's going to win the presidency in 2008 is going to have to be tough on the war on terror, and who could be better at that than Rudy Giuliani? I mean, it was as if he's on the campaign committee already.
Yeah, he seems pretty pretty fond of Giuliani. I think we have a clip that we're going to play of Matthews interviewing Kathleen Parker, who's a conservative syndicated columnist. This was on his show yesterday, actually. And Parker said that Giuliani has a big following in the South, and Matthews responded gleefully.
Let's listen.
Kathleen is incredible. You have said on this show many a time that you judge a person by their genuineness.
Yep.
Are they really what they say? Can Rudy sell in this religious environment in the South?
I think he can. Rudy has a big following in the South. He's very strong in South Carolina, for instance. And I've got
music to my ears.
Yeah, no, I've got something to tell you that's news to me, too. I just learned this. That abortion, the pro-life position, is no longer the litmus test, in South Carolina, at least.
What is it?
It used to get the crowds at national security.
And he's got that.
Yes, and he's got it in spades.
Okay. Well, he is a cheerleader there, JMO. There's no other way to describe it.
He is cheerleader is actually a great description. Unfortunately, your listeners couldn't see Matthews there because he actually, as he says, that's music to my ears, is beaming. He's smiling ear to ear. He pumps his fists and he's bouncing a little bit. So the video clip's on our website if anybody wants to check it out at mediamatters.org. But yeah, it really is extraordinary how excited he is to hear that.
Now, after the minor change in House Republican leadership, I saw Chris Matthews
came. If anybody wants to check it out at mediamatters.org, but yeah, it really is extraordinary how excited he is to hear that.
Now, after the minor change in House Republican leadership, I saw Chris Matthews came on, and he led the segment by saying, a clean sweep for the Republicans, a new page, and he made no reference to the ethical challenges that John Boehner has that are legion. The guy who was the liaison to the K Street Project, the guy who handed out tobacco checks on the House of the Floor to Republican members, and Matthews could find very little of that to reference as he was segment by saying, a clean sweep for the Republicans, a new page, and he made no reference to the ethical challenges that John Boehner has that are legion. The guy who was the liaison to the K Street Project, the guy who handed out tobacco checks on the House of the Floor to Republican members, and Matthews could find very little of that to reference as he was so excited about this minor change in the leadership.
You're right. In sort of suggesting that Boehner would be a clean break from the Republicans' ethical troubles recently, he just said that Boehner was a guy who has no connection to the history of the leadership, which
from it. But they didn't go all the way to a reformer. And John Boehner, they got another a Republican, a Newt Gingrich ally. You know, Boehner really did well with a Newt Gingrich during the Newt Gingrich years. He fell from grace, and now he's back.
Let's fade it there. Thank you, Matt. What's interesting here is that Gergen is correcting Matthews without quite calling him on his inaccuracies. It's very interesting, too. I want to briefly mention open letter to chrismatthews.blogspot.com. Did he talk about? Did he really mean it? We'll talk to Tyson Slocum from Public Citizen next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley.
Well, to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Attention antiquarians. The Monterey Peninsula is one of the best places in the country to go antiquing. And the two best stores on the peninsula to shop for beautiful, unique, and precious items are the Monterey Antique and Gift Center in Monterey and Holman's Antique Plaza in Pacific Grove. Are you looking for a discontinued china piece to complete the wedding set you started many years ago? How about a genuine gold pocket watch with the original movement? Does authentic frontier art appeal to you? If so, you must spend a few hours browsing at the Monterey Antique and Gift Center in downtown Monterey and Holman's Antique Plaza in Pacific Grove. For the finest antiques, collectibles, and jewelry, there's no place like the Monterey Antique and Gift Center, 449 Alvarado Street, and Holman's Antique Plaza at 542 Lighthouse in Pacific Grove.
Owner Nader Aga looks forward to serving you at one of his beautiful and unique shops, the Monterey Antique and Gift Center on Alvarado and Holman's Antique Plaza in Pacific Grove.
Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is an IRA distribution specialist. Other than your home, your retirement plan is probably the largest investment you have. And you have a choice. You can pass it on to your beneficiaries as a legacy, or it can be left as an IOU to Uncle Sam. Chaos can lead to confusion. Most financial advisors cannot help or answer such questions like, why should my IRA not be in my trust? Should there be a separate IRA for each beneficiary? Is there a way to set up a multi-generation stretch IRA? Michelle Ashen, a certified estate planner and IRA distribution expert, is offering a 30-minute free consultation, which will resolve these issues and explain how to undo the mistakes you may have already made. Meet with Michelle to create a plan that will preserve and protect your life savings and distribute them in the most tax-advantaged way. Call today, won't you? 641-0236. That's 831-641-0236.
Tom Hartman.
This stuff had happened under the Clinton administration. They would have him out on the White House lawn, drawn, quartered, and being eaten alive by red ants right now.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
What you have is a White House press corps that is absolutely cowed. We have now gone from news to infotainment, and because it's now an entertainment industry, if covering a missing white girl in Aruba is going to make more profit than talking about body armor, then they're all for it.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast. We got a lot to talk about. Coming up next hour, Stephen Zunis, a professor of politics from the University of San Francisco, will return to our program. We'll get his thoughts on the NSA spying hearing before Arlen Specter's Judiciary Committee today. And joining us now is a man who had the distinct honor of testifying before that same Senate Judiciary Committee on a different topic last week. It's about profiteering by the multinational oil companies, some of which claim to be American-based. Tyson Slocum is the acting director of Public Citizens Critical Mass and Energy Program. He specializes in electric utility restructuring and oil and gas policy. He's co-author of the report, It's Greed, Stupid, Debunking the 10 Myths of Utility Deregulation. Tyson, welcome to our program today.
Hey, Peter, glad to be here.
Good to talk with you. And should I raise my right hand? Did you want to swear me in? Tell the story here about how you...
I definitely believe what you have to say, sir.
All right, but you went before Chairman Specter last week, and you asked to be sworn in, and he declined to do so.
That's correct. And to put it in context, the reason that I demanded it was the last time that the oil companies came before Congress back in November, they were allowed to present testimony without being under oath. And, of course, during the course of that hearing, a bunch of them lied about their involvement in the Vice President Dick Cheney Energy Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is I noted that I hadn't been sworn in, and I think that Senator Specter did that intentionally so that when they have the oil company executives in there in a couple weeks, they won't swear them in again.
Right.
Because they'll say, well, we had the consumer advocates here, and they weren't sworn in. So I said, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be sworn in. He said, no, I'm not going to swear you in. So I said, well, let the record show. And at this point, I raised my right hand and I said, I solemnly swear that the testimony I'm giving is the truth, so help me God. Senator Specter did not crack a smile during my self-swearing-in ceremony.
Well, but our crowd is applauding for you.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
And that is a very interesting contrast that you attempted to set up. Did you also volunteer in your testimony that you have never been invited to a Dick Cheney secret energy task force meeting at the White House?
And I truthfully could say that I have never been invited because I'm a member of a consumer and environmental group, and they were not invited. to any of those task force meetings. And that's why energy policy under the Bush administration is so terrible right now, because we have only gotten the input of one side of the debate. Granted, it's a very powerful side with lots and lots of campaign contributions and an army of lobbyists, but consumers and environmentalists have been shut out of this energy policy, and that's why ExxonMobil has been having record profits while the rest of us pay the price.
And Tyson Slocum, not to split hairs here legally, because I'm not a lawyer and I don't have much hair left, but is it a violation of the law to give false testimony before a Senate committee, whether or not you've been sworn in?
Actually, yes, you're right. There is a federal law that forbids giving false information to a federal official. So the testifying under oath is a slightly stronger legal standard, so it is better to be under oath. But also, it's the symbolic nature of being under oath. And that was the point I was trying to bring home to the Senate, was, you know, at a minimum, all we're asking these oil company executives, you know, is to stand up and raise the right hand and to say the oath. I understand that it's a little difficult for them to stand because their wallet is so heavy with all the cash they have. I want to be charitable here, but this is getting ridiculous.
Well, they got all that oil profit bling that they're wearing these days. You know, it does weigh you down.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about oil profiteering. And is there any sentiment in Washington? I've heard a few Democratic senators talk about a windfall profits tax. But, of course, in the president's speech last Tuesday, while he did shock some folks from the oil patch by using this phrase that we're addicted to oil, and then he shocked, Prince Turkey of Saudi Arabia, who is deeply offended by the inference that we want to reduce our dependence on Saudi oil. So he didn't win friends, you know, among the old oil barons club. And then, of course, within 24 hours, Samuel Bodkin said, well, you know, that was just an example. He didn't really mean that. So what did he mean in the speech other than introducing switchgrass as a new source of ethanol?
Don't forget wood chips. He was also saying the 21st century rides on ethanol and wood chips and switchgrass.
Well, that's the kind of stuff he clears down at the ranch, right?
Exactly. It's clear that President Bush has made a career out of saying one thing, and then when powerful special interests that stand behind him and his campaigns want something else, then he changes his tune. And this is a perfect example of where, in a State of the Union, he says something and that later he has to say is not true. This is something that is becoming a precedent for Bush's State of the Unions, whether it's talking about uranium from Niger or whether it's talking about trying to wean our dependence on Middle Eastern oil. The president has an alarming tendency to go back and say, well, actually, I really didn't mean that. And that's what he did here. And it's clear that the Saudis have more influence over U.S. energy policy than all the listeners out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it was interesting, too, because he appeared to be so nervous about the addiction to oil phrase that he forgot to tell us that the next day he was going to ask for another $70 billion for Iraq.
Yeah, and that's where my testimony before the Senate last week really is relevant, because we have enormous costs here for the federal government. President Bush was outlining, you know, some research to develop alternative fuels. You know, generally, that is an excellent, excellent thing. But all of that costs money. Paying for our troops in Iraq costs money. And I don't know if the listeners out there are aware, but our federal budget deficit under the Bush economy is $400 billion a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we are broke, literally. And the oil companies are not broke. So that's why we've been advocating a new windfall profits tax on these wealthy oil companies to pay for some of these necessary programs as they relate to energy policy, because we need to bolster our investments in public transit systems. That's going to take a lot of money. It's something the president didn't mention, and that was unfortunate. It's going to take money to invest in alternative and renewable fuels. That's something a windfall profits tax could finance. And also to upgrade our weatherization programs in our homes and small small businesses, you know, upgrading our insulation, getting better windows, turning in our old appliances for new energy efficient ones. All of that would reduce our winter and summer heating and cooling bills. All of that's going to take money, and that's something the oil company should help finance.
And the president did not find it in his heart to talk about any increase in the CAFE standards. He talked about this, you know, kind of blind faith in technology as a way to help us get a little more bang for each barrel of oil. But Nicholas Kristof of the New York Times sallied forth to Palo Alto or somewhere in Silicon Valley last week and found a company that makes these new kind of souped-up hybrids that rely more on electrical power on the battery side for local travel. And these can, for many commuters who travel less than 50 miles a day, produce huge mileage gains, up to 50 or 100 miles per gallon on average, because mostly they would be relying on their battery-powered electric motor. The president doesn't seem to have that kind of imagination.
Well, yeah, that's because the special interests that stand behind his presidency don't have that kind of imagination, which is really ironic because the auto industry has kind of done a double team here with the big oil companies, and they have fought trying to improve fuel economy standards. As a result, in 2005, the average car on the road got 21 miles a gallon. That is less than the average car back in 1987, which got over 22 miles a gallon. So we're getting worse fuel economy standards in 2005 than we were back in 1987. That's pathetic. And a lot of that has to do with this coalition between the auto industry and the oil companies. Now, while the oil companies have been profiting, I checked, the auto industry is in the toilet.
Yeah.
Both General Motors and Ford have announced over 60,000 jobs that they have to lay off, mainly because sales of gas-guzzling SUVs are slowing down. Americans aren't buying them, and therefore the European and our Asian competitors are doing a much better job at dominating market share of more fuel-efficient and hybrid cars. So the U.S. auto industry is literally shooting themselves in the foot, and they've got no one to blame but themselves.
Because one has to ask, well, how did that ever get into his speech to begin with?
Well, obviously, like I said before, the vetting process for the State of the Union speeches, we already have precedent in the Bush administration of having a pretty sloppy process where all sorts of fabrications get in there. One of them helped lead our country to war. I think a lot of it also just goes to the complete lack of credibility that this administration has on energy policy. I mean, you're dealing with an administration that comes from the oil industry. You've got the oil and gas companies have given $55 million to the White House and to Congress since 2001, with 81% of that $55 million going to Republicans. So you've got a highly partisan and powerful special interest in terms of the oil industry. And what I could not believe here, Peter, was that 5 months ago, the president signed into law the biggest, most expensive energy bill in America's history, and yet he didn't even mention it in the State of the Union address. That energy bill spends $30 billion of our money in direct subsidies to big energy companies. Only $3 billion goes to alternative energy. All the rest is going to subsidize oil and natural gas and coal and nuclear power. It's an embarrassment. It's Jack Abramoff-style legislating, where special interests that have no business getting handouts are getting them left and right. That's what the Bush energy bill is. And remember that the energy bill he signed into law in August is almost word for word what Vice President Dick Cheney had put together with his task force back in May of 2001. So you'd think he'd be proud to talk about it, but he wasn't. And that's because the energy bill he signed into law just 5 months ago creates more problems for America's energy policy than it does provide solutions.
We're talking with Tyson Slocum from Public Citizen. If you have a question or comment about oil and gas company profiteering, about the future of our energy independence, I'd like to hear from you. Tyson's with us till 4 o'clock. Get on the line right now, 831-899-5792, Central Coast. If you're driving your Hummer up in Eureka, you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. But you probably have to spend a lot of time filling that baby up. It's 3:46 now. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley, bringing you Talking Matters. You may already know me as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or maybe you've seen me on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, and Good Morning America. Or heard my voice on The Simpsons. And now my show, Talking Matters, starts right here, Saturday, February 11th, 3 to 5 p.m. We're here to touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Tune in to my Valentine special, February 11th at 3. It's full of laughter, tears, and great ideas. You'll hear couples with heart-pounding stories. We'll talk about the biochemistry of love hormones and the hot topic of emotional infidelity. Talking Matters, live streaming on the web and archived 24/7 at talkingmattersradio.org. So let's keep talking. Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open for you at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And we continue with Tyson Slocum from Public Citizen. And Tyson, before the break, we were talking about some of the obvious problems that the Republican policies offer the future of America's energy picture. But let's don't protect Democrats here. And I've been quite disappointed that there are many labor organizations who see jobs in Anwar. And there are labor organizations who persuade Democratic senators to back off from Detroit. And as you pointed out, the CAFE standards are actually producing an average mileage rate for Americans less than it was 20 years ago. So is there a Democratic energy policy that you've been able to suss out?
I see more of the leadership going on in the House. You're absolutely right on the Democrats, especially in the Senate, not showing enough leadership on this issue. Remember that half the Democrats in the Senate voted in favor of the Bush energy bill, and actually much of the organized, sustained opposition was by a small group of very conservative Republicans who were outraged at the huge level of subsidies. A lot of Democrats were bought off by the ethanol subsidies, which, remember, all these subsidies for ethanol and other agriculture for energy, it's not going to your stereotypical small farmer. It's going to Archer Daniels Midland,
right,
and Cargill and the other huge corporations that dominate the ethanol and other alternative fuel markets. So there is some leadership in the House. There were a number of attempts to enact a renewable energy standard where the federal government would buy a certain year. There were efforts to try to impose stronger regulations over energy companies, because even after the collapse of Enron and all of those other fraudulent energy companies, we still do not have strong regulations over the industry. There were efforts to impose a windfall profits tax, and there were some efforts to push through strong fuel economy standards.
Mm-hmm. But is there a group, or can you single out a Democratic leader who you think those of us who...
He voted against the bankruptcy bill, and he is the leader in Washington, D.C. on campaign finance and lobbying reform.
Mm-hmm.
In the House, there's a group of about 60 progressive Democrats. It's the Progressive Caucus, and they've taken a very good leadership position, but they don't have the numbers to try to force the majority in the House to implement a strong progressive reform agenda.
Mm-hmm. Tyson Slocum with us from Public Citizen. I want to come to see if you can help me understand the relationship between the cost of a barrel of crude oil on the spot market and the actual cost of a gallon of gasoline delivered at retail. And without trying to go through a series of complex number crunching on radio, I'm just curious. We know that the cost of a barrel on the spot market has more than doubled in the last 2 years. I've got a quote on the web right now. $65.11 a barrel is the quoted price today. But one would think, okay, well, if the cost of crude has doubled and the oil companies have to pay higher costs to acquire that crude oil before they refine it, their profit margins should be a pace with where they were 2 years ago. But then one says, well, gosh, what kind of stockpiles are they sitting on of lower-priced oil? How much domestic oil have they been sitting on that they chose not to pump at $28 or $30 a barrel, but they can now achieve some significant profits at a $65 a barrel level? Give us a sense of the internal economics that have produced these huge windfalls, despite the jump in the cost of the raw material.
Well, first, it's important to remember that companies like ExxonMobil and Chevron Texaco, these are vertically integrated companies. That means that they engage in the exploration and production of oil in the United States and around the world. They move that oil on their own transportation network, their own tankers. You know, Chevron Texaco has a tanker called the Condoleezza Rice.
Well, they renamed it.
ExxonMobil obviously has, they had the Valdez.
Mm-hmm.
They also own their own oil refineries where that crude oil is turned into refined products like gasoline. They then even own franchise rights to the retail gas stations on your street corner. So when ExxonMobil is drilling for oil, whether it's off the coast of California or Alaska or in Texas, they are... it's costing them between $10 and $15 a barrel to extract it and move it to their refineries. But as you pointed out, the market price is $65. That means they are charging the American public $65 for every barrel of crude oil that they're getting, even if it's only costing them $10 to $15. Because remember, these oil companies like ExxonMobil, they are selling themselves this oil, whether they're drilling in the United States or in other countries like Nigeria or the Middle East or in the North Sea in Europe. So they are making a huge windfall profit whenever the price of a barrel of crude oil jumps, as it has been. On top of that, they're making additional profit margins once they sell the refined product. We've seen that they're making about 99 cents for every gallon of gasoline that they refine. So they are making huge profits, and that's when you go into the details of their financials, you see that they are making record profit margins at both the upstream, which is drilling, and downstream, which is refining and selling it on your local street corner.
So they have no incentive to allow market forces to drive down the spot price of crude.
Absolutely not. And in fact, they are heavily involved in setting the price of crude oil. Remember, the Saudi royal prince does not set the price of crude oil. If you open up a copy of the Wall Street Journal every day, you'll see that the price of crude oil is set by energy traders in New York City on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And oil companies, along with hedge funds and other investment banks, dominate these energy trading markets. And in fact, just in January, a month ago, the Federal Commodity Futures Trading Commission fined Shell Oil for engaging in illegal manipulation of crude oil prices. So you've got a situation where oil companies literally have their hands at every stage of production, from the setting of prices on the crude oil markets to exploring and producing oil, refining it, and moving it onto your street corner. This isn't an X-Files type of conspiracy. This is all facts, and this is what I laid out in my Senate testimony, and it's why we need a windfall profits tax to recapture some of those profits and reinvest it in sustainable alternative energy and in mass transit systems so that we can wean our dependence off of oil and start investing in alternatives today.
Tyson, thanks for joining us. You make complicated subjects very easy to understand, and you're quite persuasive. I look forward to talking with you again.
Well, Peter, I enjoyed it.
Tyson Slocum from Public Citizen, and you may now lower your right hand. I'm Peter B. Collins. Coming up next, Professor Stephen Zunis joins us right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Defending domestic eavesdropping.
The terrorist surveillance program is lawful in all respects.
Paying respects to Coretta Scott King.
However long it takes us, that's how long I'll be here.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Democrats and some Republicans piled on today as Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez went before the Senate Judiciary Committee to explain the administration's domestic eavesdropping.
In a long day of often tough questioning, Gonzalez insisted the president has the power to tap phone calls without warrants because Congress told him to go after the terrorists after 9/11.
The term necessary and appropriate force must allow the president to spy on our enemies.
Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein wasn't buying it.
This administration is effectively saying, and the attorney general has said it today, it doesn't have to follow the law.
Republican Chairman Arlen Specter agreed, questioning Gonzalez sharply about the argument that somehow the law requiring warrants doesn't apply.
Well, that just defies logic and plain English.
He and several other Republicans said if the president doesn't like the wiretap law, he should ask Congress to change it. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Now this.
If you enjoy helping people and want to turn that passion into a career, you can. Right now, the Home Depot has full and part-time employment opportunities for sales, cashier, lot, department supervisor, and other positions. We're an equal opportunity employer with excellent benefits, tuition reimbursement, and thorough training. If this sounds like the perfect fit for you, apply at careers.homedepot.com or at your nearest Home Depot store. We'd love for you to be a part of our team, the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Ever wish upon a star?
Not lately.
Open your Valentine's present.
Wow, you named a star after me?
Let's wish on it. Wish for us.
It's the best Valentine's gift ever. For $54, International Star Registry will record your star name in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office and send you a beautiful gift package. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. That's 800-282-3333 or starregistry.com.
Let's wish for forever.
I love you.
President Bush has ordered the flags at government buildings and military bases flown at half-staff tomorrow in honor of Coretta Scott King. He plans to attend her funeral in suburban Atlanta, along with former presidents Carter, Bush, and Clinton. Today has been a day of tributes from celebrities and ordinary people.
I'm Peter King. While the famous played, sang, and sang praises inside the Ebenezer Baptist Church's new sanctuary, thousands of not-so-famous mourners withstood the cold rain across the street to get a few moments next to Coretta Scott King's casket. Reverend Jesse Jackson was getting ready for an evening memorial service, but Reverend Jesse Adams was standing in line.
The spirit of Miss King resonates so well with my spirit that, you know, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Eloise Walker grew up in this neighborhood.
She was, to me, a woman of courage.
For many, it wasn't just about paying respects. It was about saying thank you. Peter King, CBS News, Atlanta.
The mastermind of the USS Cole bombing, along with nearly two dozen other al-Qaeda terrorists, escaped last week by tunneling out of a Yemeni prison. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports it's not likely they did it on their own.
The more you look at this, the more it looks like it was an inside job. This was a tunnel that was 460 feet long that led from a cell in what is Yemen's highest security prison to a mosque.
So far, Yemen has not taken the FBI up on its offer to help with the manhunt. An Italian news agency says at least 10 people were killed when a tourist bus plunged into a ravine in northwestern Rome. Other passengers on the bus are said to be seriously injured. A big fat book was delivered to the Capitol today. It's President Bush's budget proposal, weighing in at $2.77 trillion. It would increase military spending. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld wants $491 billion.
The single most precious thing we have here that protects our freedom and the prosperity of the American people is their security, and that does require investment.
The budget puts a squeeze on many domestic programs.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. To show his commitment to spending restraint, President Bush says his new budget identified 141 programs that should be terminated or significantly reduced in size because they were not getting results or fulfilling essential priorities. If Congress goes along, it would produce savings of nearly $15 billion.
Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid says the budget is filled with pages of giveaways to special interests and cuts to those who can least afford it. Tax cuts enacted in the president's first term would be made permanent, but even so, the White House says the deficit will be cut in half by 2009. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free. I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the left coast. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. We are live in Vivo de Radio on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. Coming up later this hour, we're going to open up the free speech zone a little after 4:30. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject in the news. We're going to kick off the conversation with my producer, Matt Renner, who is of draft age, and we're going to talk about the prospects of returning a draft to these United States. Coming up next hour, more free speech for you, and we'll bring you some sound bites from the Specter hearings in the Judiciary Committee on the NSA issue with Gonzalez, the Attorney General, who appeared for most of the day. And we're going to get a late-breaking report from the Super Bowl. Yeah, it's over, but there's a lot of debris there in Detroit. And we're going to get some panic in Detroit. Tommy Panic, our low-budget, in-depth, undercover investigative reporter, will join us between 5 and 6 tonight. It's all ahead, and you're welcome to call at any moment, 831-899-5792, Central Coast. That's 899-KRXA. And you can call us toll-free from anywhere you happen to be listening, 888-579-2540. That's good from Eureka or anywhere across the USA if you happen to be listening online. And we stream the program every weekday at KRXA540.com. Professor Stephen Zunis joins us. He's a professor of politics at the University of San Francisco. Stephen, how are you today?
Pretty good, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Nice to talk to you again. It's been a little while.
My pleasure.
Well, first up, I wanted to just get your thoughts on these unusual hearings. Unusual because we have seen Republicans breaking ranks a little. Now, it's interesting because just before you joined us, Tyson Slocum was on the program. He's from Public Citizen, and he testified before the Specter Judiciary Committee last week on oil and gas profiteering, and he asked to be sworn in, and the chairman refused. So Slocum swore himself in. Now, Gonzalez was asked to be sworn in by a minority member, Senator Feingold from Wisconsin, in particular because Feingold feels that he was lied to or at least seriously misled by the Attorney General just a year ago during the Gonzalez confirmation hearings, which we should note were under oath. And apparently there was a debate in the committee, and it was resolved by a party-line vote, Republicans saying, oh, no, Al Gonzalez? He always tells the truth. We don't need to swear him in. So this is a very interesting little maneuver that we're seeing when sensitive topics come up. The Republicans don't want to compound the situation by actually having people testify under oath. What is your sense of these hearings and the way at least some Republicans have pretty clearly taken issue with the assertion by the administration, which was repeated endlessly today by the Attorney General, that these are legal operations at the National Security Agency?
Well, it is rather revealing on a number of fronts. I mean, I think the question about testifying under oath raises what the fundamental issue is, I think, in the eyes of many Americans. I mean, in principle, I'd be against warrantless wiretaps in any case, but I think for many folks, the idea is that, well, if these really are just for, you know, people communicating with al-Qaeda, well, yeah, maybe, but I think the big concern that a lot of people have, including Republicans, is that that's just the line, that in fact these warrantless wiretaps are going after dissenters and other legitimate critics of the administration. I mean, any administration that would order spying on Quaker grandmothers and others who oppose the administration's Iraq policy would certainly be quite willing and able to use wireless wiretaps against people for political reasons. And I think one reason Republicans are getting into this, or at least some of them are, is that at least among some Republicans, there's always been something of a libertarian streak. I mean, that is, there's a suspicion of big government of any kind. And personally, I have problems with disagreements of what they call big government when it comes to environmental protection or consumer rights and that kind of thing. But for many of them, this is a sincere concern about big government, and for at least some of them, that it includes the intrusion on the rights of individuals.
And, Stephen, you made an interesting aside a moment ago, and it's something I wanted to ask about because I feel that the Democrats are trying to parry this by saying, well, everybody's in favor of spying on al-Qaeda. We just want it to be done under the law. And I'm not so sanguine with that approach because I'm very uncomfortable with domestic surveillance by the National Security Agency under almost any circumstances. And I believe that the FISA court does provide a route for them to do it legally. And I also am a realist. I imagine that on a daily basis, somebody is monitoring the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm sure.
But at the same time, the way the Democrats are playing this is if, well, every American wants spying. And I think that's a phony premise.
I agree. I mean, there's quite a bit of concern, and the big issue, the thing that just makes me madder than anything about the administration's defense here, is that they're basically saying either you let us spy on anyone you want to whenever we want to, or it means that no under no circumstances, even under demonstrable national security concerns, and even under court approval, could we ever listen in on a conversation. And that and as you say, the existing law makes it quite possible for the government to do that. In fact, they can even do it retroactively. They don't even have to wait for a decision. It gives them an incredible amount of leeway, as written, in certain ways even more than I'm completely comfortable with. But the idea that that somehow is tying their hands and somehow that it makes it difficult to keep track of activities that could endanger the lives of Americans, that's just ridiculous from day one.
Well, and call me old-fashioned, but coming out of the Nixon era, the Watergate era, where the pretext of national security was used as a cover for domestic political surveillance, I am highly skeptical, and I preferred the old arrangement, even knowing that it was violated when needed, or even in cases where it may not have been needed. I'm certain that these rules were routinely violated, but there was at least a standard that the FBI is in charge of domestic surveillance and investigations. The NSA, the DIA, and the other arms that are, now coupled under John Negroponte, these are intended for foreign ops. And
exactly.
I do not believe that 9/11 changed everything.
Did illustrate there might be there's a need for better coordination and communication between the agencies, but that's very different than saying that these the NSA and our military and the CIA can go engage in domestic spying. That's a totally different issue, and it's wrong. It's a threat.
Yeah. Stephen Zunis, we got about 2 minutes before the break, and I wanted to get started here in a conversation about Iran, and then we can fulfill more of it a little bit after some commercial business. But I wanted to just ask you a direct question. How much do you think the threat posed by Iran's recent moves is hyped, and how much of it really is the business of the United States of America?
I think it's the business of the international community, of which the United States is a member, to monitor and try to curb the proliferation of nuclear weapons. I think, however, that Iran is not an imminent threat to the United States or anybody else, and for reasons we can get to after the break, the United States is in a particularly poor position to take on this as a crusade, and indeed, if they keep pushing it the way they're pushing it, it's going to make things more dangerous before making them safer.
And I was a little alarmed because as I was trying to catch up on the Gonzalez hearings before Arlen Specter's Judiciary Committee this morning, there was a crawl on C-SPAN. And first of all, I'm opposed to the crawl. But secondly, it said that Rumsfeld is now starting to talk about military action against Iran this year. We'll pick up there as we continue with Professor Stephen Zunis from the University of San Francisco, where he is a professor of politics. You can join us at 831-899-5792. Or toll-free 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's
tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Please join House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi and former White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta as they celebrate Congressman Sam Farr's 30 years of public service. Sunday, February 12th at the Hyatt Regency Monterey, local and national leaders will pay tribute to Sam's work on behalf of the Central Coast and the nation. That's Sunday, February 12th at the Hyatt Regency Monterey, starting at 6 p.m. For tickets or information, call 373-4607. That's 373-4607. Authorized and paid for by the Friends of Farr Committee. KRXA 540 checks your traffic on this Monday afternoon. We've got Metro Diane.
We're going to start on Highway 1 in Marina. Northbound 1 after Reservation Road. Keep your eyes open. There's a large box filled with wire in the left-hand lane there. And also a couple accidents in Seaside. Northbound Blanco Road after Reservation Road. We have two vehicles involved in a head-on collision there. Both vehicles have now been moved over to the right-hand shoulder, so emergency crews are on scene for that. Also an accident in Corralitos. Wheelock Road at Green Valley Road. Two vehicles blocking the roadway there, so CHP en route to hopefully clear that one out. Also, a two-vehicle accident in Watsonville. It's Werner Road at Hall Road. This report is brought to you by Preparation H. Preparation H cream relieves burning, itching, and also gives you maximum strength pain relief on contact. It's the most complete Preparation H relief ever. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back with you about 4:45. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're talking with Professor Stephen Zunis, the University of San Francisco, where he's a professor of politics, and we're focused right now on the tensions that are building between the world community and the nation of Iran. And Stephen, just to recap, on Friday, the International Atomic Energy Agency of the UN essentially filed a report with the UN Security Council regarding the nuclear program in Iran. And the U.S. is orchestrating this, of course, with the diplomat, we have to put that in quotes, John Bolton, leading the charge. And just today, Iran has issued a notice to the IAEA demanding that they remove all their surveillance cameras and other equipment from Iran's nuclear sites by mid-February. So they're giving them about a two-week deadline to do that. So clearly the rhetoric is escalating. How much of this do you believe is a real battle over these issues, and how much of it is the United States kind of pushing to bully Iran into submission?
There's definitely posturing on all sides. The Iranians, of course, especially the hardliners, are milking this for everything they can get. Even moderates in Iran are incensed that of the double standards of the international community in general, and the United States in particular. After all, their next-door neighbor Pakistan has nuclear weapons, as does India, both in violation of UN Security Council Resolution 1172, calling on them to dismantle the nuclear programs. Israel has over 300 nuclear weapons. They are still in violation of UN Security Council Resolution 487, calling on Israel to place its nuclear facilities under trusteeship of the International Atomic Energy Agency. So when the United States is saying we must put sanctions on Iran when they are years away from having nuclear weapons, and the United States has blocked sanctions against these allies, to which, in the case of Israel, we give them extensive military and technical assistance. In the case of Pakistan, we just signed an agreement giving them or selling them nuclear-capable jet fighters. In India, where we've signed a nuclear cooperation agreement. I mean, the double standards here, of course, are incredible.
Yes, and Pakistan in particular, I think, is worth noting that the U.S. since 9/11 has referred to Pakistan as an ally in this mislabeled war on terror. And, of course, we have the other part of this, of course, is that Pakistan has been responsible for the greatest proliferation of designs and equipment and the consultation provided by Dr. A.Q. Khan or Han. And the doctor was permitted to resign his post as the godfather of nuclear weapons in Pakistan with no sanctions, despite the clear evidence that was made available and that's on the table.
His dangerous activity of this nuclear promiscuity, which has really... been a major threat in terms of getting this kind of technology into
this is calling the bluff of the United States over Israel's weapons, which you referred to, and also the prospect that the U.S. may want to site nuclear weapons on its proposed permanent bases in Iraq.
Well, there have been calls for a nuclear weapons-free zone for quite a few years, including by Iran. It's passed the General Assembly by overwhelming majorities for years. In fact, UN Security Council Resolution 687, the resolution in which we use as excuse to invade Iraq, even though they're taking a leading role in blocking its implementation on the grounds that we and we alone should get to decide which countries have nuclear weapons and which ones do not.
Mm-hmm. And you and I appear to see the hypocrisy pretty clearly, that a president who can't even say nuclear is telling Iran they can't have nuclear power. And at the same time, you can understand their aspirations, even if on a proliferation level you would prefer that they not acquire this capability. It's pretty easy to understand their rationale, isn't it?
Very much so. I mean, there's no proof they're even developing a nuclear weapons program, but assuming that they are. I mean, if you're an Iranian official and you saw your country's name along with Iraq and North Korea as the axis of evil, and you saw how Iraq had gotten rid of its nuclear program, allowed the International Atomic Energy Agency to come back in and poke around and go everywhere they wanted to go, and you got invaded anyway, and then North Korea threw out the IAEA and then started developing nuclear weapons, and they're still in power, what lesson would you learn from that? I mean, they, assuming they do have a nuclear weapons program, it's for deterrence, to try to prevent themselves from getting invaded. I don't think the idea that somehow they'll launch some kind of suicidal first strike is pretty silly at face value. And so, again, it's what we need to do is try to create a more secure region there that wouldn't promote this kind of development.
And do you think there's anybody in Iran telling... Ahmadinejad that his comments are provocative and not helpful, that he could probably do the same, you know, take the same actions that they're planning to take, but lower the rhetoric and probably reduce the immediate threat to them.
You know, certainly. I mean, the guy really is a loose cannon, though, again, it's more rhetorical than anything else. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. You hear how we say that, oh, it can't be just for energy generation. They're sitting on top of all that oil. They're wanting to, so it must be for nuclear weapons. Well, it's interesting. There is Gerald Ford, when the Shah was in power, when Ford was president, had similar concerns, and his advisor said, oh, I'm the bill that would sell 8 new nuclear reactors to Iran and laser technology capable of enriching uranium and fuel with fissile isotopes, all sorts of dangerous stuff. But guess what? His Secretary of Defense, who advised him to go ahead with it, Donald Rumsfeld. His Chief of Staff, who encouraged him to go through with this, Dick Cheney. And the State Department guy in charge of nonproliferation, who pushed him to go through with this, Paul Wolfowitz.
We're going to pause for a minute. And, Stephen, can you stay with us for a few more minutes?
Sure can.
Stephen Zunis with us. We'll take your calls in the next segment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We can advise you about negotiating with your lender and about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. You can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We're Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
You got the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 4:33 on this sunny Monday afternoon. And we're heading into the free speech zone. For the next 90 minutes, we'll be taking your calls on any subject in the news, the NSA spying hearings before Arlen Specter's Judiciary Committee, or anything else that you'd like to talk about. Lines available right now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. You can also call me toll-free. It's 888-579-2540. Eureka or anywhere else, 888-579-2540. And we continue with Professor Stephen Zunes, Z-U-N-E-S. He teaches politics at the University of San Francisco, and we're talking about the tensions building over Iran's intent to develop what they call peaceful nuclear power, and that, of course, many are concerned about could lead to their development and possession of nuclear weapons. And, Stephen, there's an interesting sidebar that's been going on with Russia. And Russia has offered to process the nuclear fuel, and this would be presumably a safeguard against Iran developing the capability on its own. And for whatever reasons, it appeared that Iran was open to that proposal, but their recent moves suggest that they have reconsidered. What is your take?
It's hard to say. I mean, this could be in part of a bargaining strategy of one kind or another. I think for the Iranians, you know, they really want this to kind of have that kind of sovereignty. They want to be able to make these kind of decisions themselves. And you know, like a lot of countries in that part of the world, they're sensitive to being dependent on any advanced industrialized country for certain kinds of technologies, and they have the kind of processed uranium that would continue to fuel their reactors for peaceful or not peaceful purposes, and Russia would seem to be able to help make that possible. At the same time, they don't want to be at the whims of the Kremlin any more than they do on any other country.
So, do you think that they have moved on from that idea, or is it something that is still on the table?
I think it's something still on the table. I mean, this is they have gone to the brink at several times during the past few years in these negotiations. This is further than they've gone before, certainly in terms of breaking the seals on the in the reprocessing facilities and that sort of thing. But I think it's very possible they may try to pull off something at the very end. I don't also doubt there's some kind of internal struggle within Iran as to how far they want to push this issue. Because on the one hand, the majority of Iranians do support their government, even though on this issue, even those who oppose the extreme hardline domestic and foreign policy initiatives of the current government on most things. At the same time, there are elements within Iran that don't want to be isolated in the international community. Some of the hardliners perhaps would want to be isolated in the international community, and that it gives them more leeway to do what they want to do. And then there are others that point out that Iran still has a lot of areas of influence and leeway, including the strong influence they have on the Iraqi government.
Now, in terms of the U.S. posture toward Iran, Stephen Zunes, it seems almost detached from reality for Don Rumsfeld or anyone else to suggest that the United States is in a position to launch any kind of a significant military assault on Iran. Putting aside any rationale for doing so, if it is our desire to do that, it doesn't appear that we have enough troops to do much more than aerial sorties, either by bombers, fighters, and missiles. And I would hope that we learned a lesson when Jimmy Carter attempted to send commandos in to free the hostages back in 1977 or 78.
Yeah, I think there were certainly some people who were in the Bush administration who were envisioning a U.S. invasion of that country at some point. We've certainly been sobered by what's happening in Iraq. Iran is three times larger than Iraq, both in size and population. I think people are much more unified and much more nationalistic. I think it would be even worse by almost any measure than the mess we found ourselves in its Arab neighbor. So I think an invasion certainly is out of the question. What we could see are targeted airstrikes, missile strikes, and the like that would distract people, perhaps, from the mess in Iraq and boost Bush's popularity ratings temporarily. But it would be a mess in terms of Iran. For one thing, they've certainly decentralized. If they do indeed have a nuclear weapons program, it's probably decentralized and literally underground in ways that we couldn't find. so it wouldn't have much of an impact there. It would solidify support around the regime. Leading Iraqi dissidents, including Shirin Ebadi, the Islamic feminist and human rights lawyer who's been jailed by the regime, who won the Nobel Peace Prize for her efforts a few years ago, she's been an outspoken opponent of any kind of military action by the United States, saying it's the absolute worst thing that could happen in terms of the pro-democracy movement in that country.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, anything you want to add? I appreciate your expertise on this.
Well, just that personally, I don't support nuclear power anywhere, including the United States. So I don't think that even if it is for peaceful purposes, this is a positive thing. But I think we do need to realize that that if the United States wants to take leadership in this kind of issue, we need to clean up our act. Remember that it was the United States that was the first country that brought nuclear weapons into the Middle East back in 1958. We've continued to bring tactical nukes into the area ever since. This kind of nuclear apartheid policy is just simply not working, because whenever you try to impose a regime of haves and have-nots from the outside, it just makes the have-nots want to try even harder to become the haves. And finally, if we're really interested in enforcing the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, I think it's important to remember this. It not only addressed horizontal nuclear proliferation, that is, of non-nuclear states developing nuclear weapons, but part of the bargain was that the existing nuclear powers agreed that in return for putting limits on the development of nuclear weapons, that the already existing nuclear powers would make good faith efforts to completely disarm their nuclear weapons. And none of the five pre-existing powers have done that. Indeed, with this new generation of tactical nuclear weapons that the Bush administration has been pushing, we're going in just the opposite direction. And so I think we need to really seriously look at our own contribution to nuclear proliferation before we start all this reckless talk about enforcing our will on Iran.
But they hate our freedom. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Anytime.
Nice to talk with you. Stephen Zunis, professor of politics at the University of San Francisco, and I agree with what he just described about the contradictions and hypocrisy of the United States' position in this particular dispute. Let's go to the phones now. Lines are open for you all the way until 6 o'clock tonight, 831-899-5792, or toll-free at 888-579-2540. Ben from Salinas, you're up first. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. I wanted to discuss something with you. I need some help on my point of view here. They're interviewing Alberto Gonzalez, right?
That's right.
Okay, now, who's his boss? If I'm not mistaken, as Attorney General for the United States, it's his number one job to protect the constitutional rights of we the people, his employers. Is this not correct?
You are correct.
Then why is he doing this bobbing and weaving game like Alito just went through? We're seeing the Super Bowl of duck and hide and lie. And meanwhile, is he there? He seems to be advocating that for the president, that he's holding all of his options open to give this man the power of a king, we have no king in America so far. De facto, I think we do.
Well, you are correct. And the attorney general is off base. That's a polite way of putting it.
And he's on the short list for the Supreme Court.
Well, I suppose so. That, if you read the recent speculation, he's not conservative enough for the hardliners. So he's not Alito enough, Al Gonzalez. But what we're seeing here is, and Ben, you make an excellent point. The attorney general is not there to be the counsel to the president. That's Harriet Meyer's job now.
Thank you.
That's the old job that Al Gonzalez had.
Thank you.
His job right now, and I believe he took an oath to defend the Constitution, is what you just described. He is the top law enforcement official for the people of the United States of America.
And also, I'll leave with a rather rhetorical question. In the new budget, they want to raise the debt ceiling to $2.2 trillion, the Republican pundits. Oh, this is the price of protecting you. Okay, he wants to cut 131 public utility, public things that serve we, the little people, the 80% that don't have the golden spoon. He wants to cut 131 projects while maintaining the gift, the tax gift, to the wealthy. Now, all you Republicans out there in red land, in the red states, please, there are some of you are intelligent and good. Understand what's going on here. Unless you're the wealthy, which is most of us ain't. you know, giving it to the wealthy and taking out of people in wheelchairs and pricing old people between groceries and medicines, and you're okay with this? You think being a Republican is going to protect you? They got their sights on all of us people. Anyway, I've said enough.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate what you have to say. Dave and Humboldt, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go right ahead.
Well, I'd like to echo everything that Ben just had to say. I think you get some very excellent callers. I believe that the fact that our White House has been stolen by very greedy billionaire oil tycoons has something to do with the problem. I share Harry Belafonte's observation that the world's worst terrorist already has quite an abundance of nuclear weapons in his possession. That's George Bush. Now, I guess the message they're saying to the world, Iran, we're the only guys in this tavern that's going to have to have any guns, and you can trust us. We're not the kind of people that would invade your country just for your oil or something like that, you know?
Yeah, right. It's just incredible the way the phrase "trust me" is implicit in so much of what Bush does, and he is oblivious to the fact, not the perception, the fact, Dave, that people worldwide do not trust this man. It's not just a few liberals in the United States. It's not just that angry, ultra-liberal Hillary Rodham Clinton that Melman was talking about. It's pretty widespread around the world. He cannot be trusted, and the proof is right out there for everyone to see.
Yes, they will say to a country like Iran, we do not permit you to have weapons. Well, who the hell are we to say that, you know? We're not putting ours down. If I were Iran, I think I'd be trying to find every way in the world to be able to maximize their defenses and anticipate that Bush is looking for every way that he can to invade them.
I certainly don't encourage any country to develop nuclear weapons. That said, you can certainly understand why Iran, as Stephen Zunis pointed out a few minutes ago, feels that after watching what happened in Iraq, that they'd be fools to trust the United States and to submit to international control over their future. Dave, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
We're going to continue in just a moment, and you can grab a line right now. It's Open Free Speech Zone, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll free from anywhere within the sound of my voice, 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley, bringing you Talking Matters. You may already know me as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or maybe you've seen me on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, and Good Morning America, or heard my voice on The Simpsons. But now I can invite you to join me on my own show, Talking Matters, starting right here, Saturday, February 11, 3 to 5 p.m. We'll talk about matters that touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. We'll explore your dreams, secrets, hopes, and sorrows. How are you really dealing with today's world? Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Tune in for inspiring stories, useful ideas, and surprising ahas. Talking Matters, live streaming on the web, and archived 24/7 at talkingmattersradio.org. So let's keep talking, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
George W. Bush.
Well, let's see. He's borrowing $2 billion a day to keep this country afloat so that he can give tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires, and he wants to continue that, and he calls that responsible.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
I am confused. I thought Republicans thought that you should have a balanced budget. Apparently, I was wrong. Or George W. Bush was being incoherent last night. That wouldn't surprise me either.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on the ride home. Here she is, Metro Diane.
We have an accident in Watsonville. It's Werner Road at Hall Road. Two vehicles involved in this one. One vehicle actually went off the roadway and landed on its roof. So CHP is on scene working on clearing that up, but it's probably going to take a while. Also, keep your eyes open in San Martin, southbound 101 at San Martin Avenue. Reports of pieces of shredded tire all across the lanes there. Also, some good news for Seaside, northbound West Blanco Road before Reservation Road. An earlier accident there has been cleared. Checking the Santa Cruz Mountains, Highway 17, both directions stall and accident-free. This report is brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Hurry to Mattress Discounters today, and on approved credit, make no down payment, no monthly payment, and pay no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters, quality brands, discount prices every day. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and our Santa Cruz listeners know, surf's up. I do believe that Santa Cruz is the original one and only Surf City USA. And tomorrow morning at the crack of 8, the Maverick Surf Contest will get underway at Half Moon Bay, just up the coast from Santa Cruz on beautiful Highway 1. So if you're a surf dude or dudette, hope you'll be out there to cheer him on. We're in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and a couple of callers are on hold. We'll get to you shortly, but you can join the conversation at 831-899-5792, toll-free, 888-579-2540. And before we take some more calls, I wanted to invite my esteemed producer, Matt Renner, to turn on his microphone and join us here for a couple of minutes. Matt hosts a show on KRXA in Monterey on Sundays called The Naked Ape, co-host, to be fair. And one of the chats that they had yesterday that he brought me up to speed on is about a possible return of the draft. And Matt, explain to our listeners your position, because you are draft age. You graduated from college last year. And yet you think that it would be fair to reinstate the draft. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good assessment of how I feel about it. It's something that is very troubling and a hard decision to come to. But I realize that in the spirit of being a citizen of the United States, I think that it's fair to create a draft that actually would increase the kind of opposition to the Iraq War, because it would immediately affect everyone from the age of 18 to 25 and fire them up, as well as their parents, and some of their parents might even be elected officials.
Yeah. Well, you have an interesting point of view, and you and I discussed this earlier today. You also said that should the draft be reinstated, that you would resist it.
Right. I think that, you know, personally, I would do everything I could to not go to a war that I think is unjust. If we were in a situation like we were in the 40s, when there was a war against a fascist dictator, Hitler, who decided that he wanted to take over the world, it would be a different situation. But because I think that this is a war that is illegal and deserves opposition in this country, I'd be happy to be, or I wouldn't be happy to be, but I'd take the opportunity to be a dissenter and a leader in that, you know, dissent movement, to actually, you know, shine some light on the fact that you don't have to kill and you don't have to go to war if you decide to go to jail instead.
Mm-hmm. And I would describe your position as a duality, not a contradiction. But some people may see it as contradictory, because after all, if your self-interest is that you would not submit to a draft, particularly over the war in Iraq, then why would you support a draft even on this basis of fairness and the sense that it would enhance resistance to the war across economic lines?
Absolutely. No, I think that, you know, the criticism would be that that's contradictory, that if I'm not willing to go, then why would I want other people to be forced into it? I think that it's somewhat self-explanatory, though, that my idea is, instead of making a backdoor draft or creating a situation where people have to go to war in order to afford college, I would want to be on the front lines there of forcing people to, I mean, it's really calling the bluff in a lot of ways. I mean, the idea of resisting a draft is as powerful, I mean, a message as you can get, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that I want other people to go to war isn't exactly what my point is of having a draft. It's more that it would have to wake people up, and people would be faced with the reality of, you know, the reality that a lot of people are faced with today, but you don't hear their voices because they're the little people.
Yeah. I just think there are probably some people who agree with the second part of your position, but they're fairly absolutist, who would say that they could not counsel a return of the draft because essentially it would pluck American men and women of, you know, the wonderful young age and sentence some of them to death.
Right. And unfortunately, I mean, I see that position, and it's absolutely valid. The issue for me is that right now we have a situation where people are dying in huge numbers, and I don't think the numbers are necessarily going to increase with a draft. It's more that the awareness of what's going on in Iraq will increase with a draft.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think this is an issue I'd like to hear our listeners' comments on, and I understand your position. I was back in the Vietnam era, selected number 4 in one of the last draft lotteries, and I had been processed as a conscientious objector because I personally could not support the war in Vietnam. And so I personally lived through some of the, you know, the very issues that you're thinking through at this point. And further, I'd say that because I've heard that the draft, the selective service system, may be reactivated, I have volunteered to serve on a draft board in my local county because there weren't very many sympathetic people on the draft board that I faced as a 19-year-old.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and I think that's a noble thing to do. It's something I've looked into also. I'm actually processing my application currently. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, my whole point here is that you lived through it to see that the draft really did shine a lot of light on what's going on in Vietnam. I mean, when the day comes that LeBron James's draft number is called and he's called before the board and they say you need to go into, what, are you going to Iran next?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a big day in the media. I mean, they'll actually have to cover the resistance to a war.
Well, and bottom line, the whole anti-war movement of the 60s was fueled in large part, in my opinion, by the self-interest of those of us who were subject to the draft.
Absolutely.
So it's a very powerful dynamic. Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us.
My
pleasure. Let's go back to the calls. Jake in Arcata's holding. Hello, Jake. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Not too bad today. What's on your mind?
Well, yeah, I find that's an idea interesting. I know New York Congressman Charlie Rangel put forward a similar idea.
Yes, he did.
Right now we have a small slice of America that's sacrificing for this failed effort in Iraq, and if it was broadened, yeah, the opposition to the war would definitely broaden as well. And I just have to go back to Alberto Gonzalez's, sorry to change the subject, but
no, not at all.
That testimony today was just
free
ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how is it he's allowed to testify not under oath, and he just gets up there and lies, and Spector lets him get away with it? You know, I was kind of hoping that Armin Spector would hold some serious hearings, but it just looks to be a big show. I mean, we really need a special prosecutor. The Republicans in Congress cannot be allowed to investigate Bush because they simply won't do it. We need a special prosecutor to get to the bottom of what this domestic spying operation was really about.
Well, I agree, and I have to say that I have my homework cut out for me this evening. I turned the TiVo on this morning and at least captured the morning session of the Judiciary Committee hearings. We're going to have an excerpt from Senator Feinstein coming up right after the news in just about 8 minutes here, and I'll look for reaction from our listeners to that. But I don't have the big picture yet about the nature of these hearings and just to what extent Republicans really pressed their guy on this issue. And,
yep.
You know, I agree with your assessment from what I've seen and the accounts I've read so far. The Attorney General was permitted to use circular logic and incomplete answers, and at any moment that he was really challenged, he could just retreat to the, well, that's top secret, and we can't give aid and comfort to the enemy. And exactly. What we do know about this is that the claims that it could have prevented 9/11 or that it has saved thousands of lives appear to be completely specious. We hear the pushback from the FBI that the vast majority of the referrals from this NSA dragnet have been empty, dead-end leads and have, in some cases, produced the arrest and detainment of innocent individuals. So the track record doesn't add up, and maybe what we're going to see is a breach of security where the Bush administration leaks a success story to try to throw us off the track. That's one of the tactics I would expect Rove is working on right now. Jake, we're up against the end of the hour. Thanks for your call. More calls coming up next hour, 831-899-5792, 888-579-2540. I'm Peter B.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Senators are asking the questions now about how the NSA's terror surveillance program happened and why and how it's been operated. They've been asking Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez.
To end the program now would be to afford our enemy dangerous and potentially deadly new room for operation within our own borders.
CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart.
At issue is President Bush's authorization shortly after 9/11 for the National Security Agency to eavesdrop without a warrant on Americans making or receiving overseas calls or emails. The administration said it did so as part of the war on terrorism, but Democrats ask, why not just get a law passed?
The answer from the Attorney General seems to be because they didn't need one and because the administration briefed key members of Congress all along. In Decatur, Alabama today, Vice President Dick Cheney says, don't call it domestic spying.
It is not domestic surveillance. We're talking about international communications, one end of which we have reason to believe is related to Al-Qaeda or terrorist networks.
Federal government is operating in the red, spending tomorrow's money by the billions.
The deficit this year will hit an all-time high of $423 billion. Budget Director Josh Bolton blames the war in Iraq and the federal response to the Gulf Coast hurricane.
The good news is that those costs aren't permanently baked into the budget. Those are ones that should dissipate substantially over time.
The deficit will decrease next year to $354 billion, which Bolton refers to as 2.6% of the total economy, which sounds a lot smaller. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
The so-called private detective to the stars may have kept his own private files. Anthony Pelicano facing racketeering charges in L.A.
Pelicano ran a Sunset Boulevard private eye firm, and among the people that he's accused of spying on is actor Sylvester Stallone.
CBS News reporter Adrian Bard. Pelicano allegedly tapped the phones of some of the stars and bought inside information from police to build his own dossiers. A new study says genetics may play a big part in who develops Alzheimer's.
Identical twins had a very strong correlation, meaning that if one twin developed Alzheimer's disease, the other twin developed Alzheimer's disease, but that wasn't 100% of the time.
WFOR-TV reporter Dr. Sean Keniff says in 80% of the 392 pairs of twins studied, Alzheimer's linked the pairs. Another study in the same journal showed a strong line between depression and the rapid development of Alzheimer's. In Atlanta this evening, at Ebenezer Baptist Church, where Martin Luther King preached so many years ago, there is a last memorial tonight for his widow, Coretta Scott King. Her funeral is tomorrow. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 5 points today to close at 10,798. The Nasdaq lost almost 4 points. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas at a major strip resort? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
If they don't ruin it, they'll make a visit to the Winter Olympics more exciting, talking about Italian drivers.
Italians have always been known to enjoy their cars, and they don't always follow the rules of the road. And this is one of the problems that still needs to be resolved in Torino. The Olympic Committee is having trouble getting drivers to respect the lanes reserved for Olympic vehicles. To add to the trouble, bus drivers are still learning how to get around. More than 2,000 have been drafted from all over Italy, and many aren't familiar with the roads. Sabina Castelfranco, CBS News, Rome.
You'd be better off not messing with some of the babes in Alaska. Just ask Michaela Hutchison. She's been whipping boys for years, and now she's the state high school wrestling champ in a state of real men. She walked away from the title match with a bloody nose, but she left the boy she pinned to the mat in 103-pound class stunned at how strong she is. Michaela said as she wiped blood away from her nose, "It was awesome." Harley Carnes, CBS News.
If you enjoy helping people and want to turn that passion into a career, you can. Right now, the Home Depot has full and part-time employment opportunities for sales, cashier, lot, department supervisor, and other positions. We're an equal opportunity employer with excellent benefits, tuition reimbursement, and thorough training. If this sounds like the perfect fit for you, apply at careers.homedepot.com or at your nearest Home Depot store. We'd love for you to be a part of our team. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Ever wish upon a star?
Not lately.
Open your Valentine's present.
Wow, you named a star after me?
Let's wish on it. Wish for us.
It's the best Valentine's gift ever. For $54, International Star Registry will record your star name in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office and send you a beautiful gift package. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. That's 800-282-3333 or starregistry.com.
Let's wish for forever.
I love you.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B., your humble host. It's 5:06. My lines are open to hear from you this hour. We're going to give you an excerpt of Di-Fi and Gonzo Al in just a moment. But my lines are open at 899-5792. That's Central Coast, a local call. 831-899-KRXA. Or you can call me toll-free from Eureka or anywhere else you happen to be listening. It's 888-579-2540. Oh, and I got a new email address. It's simpler than the old one. Peter@peterbcollins.com. I want to thank Mark Charbonneau. He did some work on the peterbcollins.com website over the weekend. We're getting it spiffed up. And before we get to topic A about the Judiciary Committee hearings in the Senate today, convened by Arlen Specter, with Alberto Gonzalez on the not-so-hot seat, there are just two other items I want to mention. One is, Ken Melman is a king of spin. He is the chair of the Republican National Committee and a frequent emailer to my account. And on the TV chat shows over the weekend, he offered a new over-the-top assessment of Hillary Rodham Clinton, and I take personal offense. I'll tell you why. It's not because I am defending the senator from New York. Referring to Mrs. Clinton's assertion that Republicans were running Congress like a plantation, Melman said, whether it's the comments about the plantation or the worst administration in history, Hillary Clinton seems to have a lot of anger. There's a lot of talk about a new Hillary Clinton, but if you look at the record, it's a very left-wing record, he asserted. Well, hold on a minute. Hold on just a GD minute, will you? First of all, for the Republicans to poke us in the eye with the way they run the Congress and then describe Hillary Clinton as angry is just way off base. Oh, I know how their spin machine works. I know their framing. But it's a crock, and you and I know it. And secondly, it is an insult to every liberal, progressive, left-wing American to hear her record described as left-wing. Ken, you can go stuff it. Secondly, Zacharias Moussaoui was in the courtroom, well, in and out of the courtroom in Virginia today, because they are starting a process to sentence him either to life in prison or to death. He pled guilty last April to conspiring to fly planes into U.S. buildings, but claims he had no role in the September 11th plot. And he's taking a playbook or a page or two from the playbook of Saddam Hussein because he seems very comfortable in the courtroom. And I guess he knows he's going to spend his life in jail or get fried, and he probably expects to be fried. He has very little to lose. And so he twice declared his allegiance to Osama bin Laden's network. I will take the stand to tell the whole truth about my involvement. I am al-Qaeda. They, his lawyers, he says, are Americans, and I'll have nothing to do with them. Well, four separate times, the judge had the bailiffs or the marshals escort him from the room, and apparently he didn't go kicking and screaming. He left quietly and politely when they ordered him to do so. So he's putting on a show trial of his own. It'll be interesting to watch and see where this one goes. But we're almost guaranteed that we will learn nothing about Zacharias Moussaoui because the guilty plea seals that record. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we will learn more during the sentencing phase after the jury is selected, but I highly doubt it. Now, let's listen to a brief excerpt from today's judiciary hearings as California's senior senator Dianne Feinstein took on Alberto Gonzalez. But first, she used the Joe Biden technique to ask a fairly lengthy question, which, of course, is mostly about DiFi. Here we have DiFi and Gonzo Al Gonzalez.
I'd like to make clear that, for me at least, this hearing isn't about whether our nation should aggressively combat terrorism. I think we all agree on that. And it's not about whether we should use sophisticated electronic surveillance to learn about terrorist plans, intentions, and capabilities. We all agree on that. And it's not about whether we should use those techniques inside the United States to guard against attacks. We all agree on that. But this administration is effectively saying, and the Attorney General has said it today, it doesn't have to follow the law. And this, Mr. Attorney General, I believe, is a very slippery slope. It's fraught with consequences. The intelligence committees have not been briefed on the scope and nature of the program. They have not been able to explore what is a link or an affiliate to al-Qaeda, or what minimization procedures are in place. We know nothing about the program other than what we've read in the newspapers. And so it comes with huge shock, as Senator Leahy said, that the President of the United States in Buffalo, New York in 2004 would say, and I quote, "Anytime you hear the United States government talking about wiretap, it requires a wiretap requires a court order." Nothing has changed, by the way. When we're talking about chasing down terrorists, we're talking about getting a court order before we do so. Mr. Attorney General, in light of what you and the President have said in the past month, this statement appears to be false. Do you agree?
No, I have his statement. And in the sentence immediately before what you're talking about, he said he was referring to roving wiretaps. And so I think anyone who
So you're saying that statement only relates to roving wiretaps?
Senator, that speech
was
about that was a discussion was about the Patriot Act. And right before he uttered those words that you're referring to, he said, secondly, there are such things as roving wiretaps. You know, now, by the way, anytime you hear the United States government talking about wiretaps, it requires a wiretap, requires a court.
Go ahead.
And the draft, you know, as far as his tactic is concerned, it's certainly tactical thinking is right. You engage everybody by threatening them with the draft. That makes sense. However, let's look at this particular war and at this time. You know, we have such great communications. The president and the government have such ability to propagandize us. If you can't get 19-year-olds excited to do your killing for you, then you probably don't have a very good war. Because, you know, 19-year-olds around the world will go into the streets and burn anything, shoot at anything. We can see that among our Muslim brothers.
Yep.
So the first thing is there should never be a draft again because there's no excuse for a draft. Your war should be honest enough and popular enough. And you know, again, when you have a president who lies to you, like this one did going into this war, I know some people don't like it that some of us are smart enough to say he's lying to us the whole time. You know, when he said, well, it's Saddam, he kept coming on and saying, well, you know, Saddam, it's up to him. If he gets rid of those weapons of mass destruction, we won't be coming. And we knew we were coming.
Right.
So that's the draft, as far as that's concerned. You know, your friend Chuck is in trouble.
Chuck Pinocchio?
Yep.
Why?
Well, I just heard something that it's so upsetting. Hillary, that angry Hillary?
Yes, the angry left-wing Hillary.
Yeah. Here's the point, how left-wing she is. She gave money from her PAC to Casey.
Okay, well, that I think that's good for Chuck Pinocchio.
Well, I read it as he doesn't have a prayer when you have someone who's supposedly, not against choice, giving money to an anti-choice candidate at this point. She's so desperate to look middle of the road.
Well, she is so captive to the mentality of the Democratic Leadership Council and the so-called, you know, moderate or centrist corporate Democrats. So I'm not at all surprised that she is supporting Casey. Of course, he was encouraged to run by Chuck Schumer, who, of course, is also trying to clear the field for him. And Pinocchio's a bad boy because he refused to be a party liner and get out of the way. So I think that in many respects, this support from Hillary to Casey will play to Pinocchio's advantage.
Well,
hey, Billy,
I want to
hear your thoughts a little bit more, and I know you got more to say, but I've got to take a break or I'll get in trouble. So you hold on here just a second. We'll come back at you in 4 minutes. And that gives you, I mean you, driving along, time to pick up your phone and give us a call. I want to hear your thoughts about Dianne Feinstein's exchange with Alberto Gonzalez. I think she nailed it. The president lied. But not in Al's world. So give us a call. Let me know your thoughts. 831-899-5792, Central Coast. Toll free from everywhere at 1-888-579-2540. We're coming right back at you on the Peter B. Collins Show. Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, chefs, farmers, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by the Monterey County Growers and Vintners Association's 4th Annual Passport Weekend, February 17th, 18th, and 19th, travel the world without packing a suitcase.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 520 on this Monday evening, and here's Metro Diane.
We have a car fire in the Santa Cruz Mountains. It's southbound 17 before Bear Creek Road. Motorhome is actually on fire on the right-hand shoulder. You can see smoke and flames coming from that, so fire department en route for that. And also Carmel San Lucas Road at Portola Road, a vehicle went off the roadway there and into a ditch. So tow trucks are on scene working on getting that back up onto the roadway. In Watsonville, Warner Road at Hall Road, some good news there. An earlier accident has been cleared. This report is brought to you by Centrum. When it comes to multivitamins, it's not just the number of ingredients, but how they interact that counts. Centrum balances combinations of nutrients to bring out their full potential. Centrum is balanced and complete. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane. We'll check back in about a half hour. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning right here. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's still recovering from the Stupid Bowl. Well, so is Tommy Panic. And there's Panic in Detroit. He'll be checking in from Motown about 15 minutes from now. I thought the Stones halftime show was pretty good. But did you know that Mick and the gang submitted to censorship? Yes, they did. There was a digital delay and apparently sanitized a couple of lyrics from the Stones' performance at halftime last night. Turn down all the lights. And the rain fell down. We're taking your calls in the free speech zone. Any topic, any viewpoint, welcome. And you can grab a line right now, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. Billy, thanks for holding through the break. I know you had more to say. And we left off with Hillary and the situation in Pennsylvania. But I suspect you had something to say about Arlen Specter's hearings on the spying today.
Yeah, I do. But before I go into that, one more word about the draft.
Sure.
If they do bring the draft back, Peter, one of the things we might want to do with our radio time is those of us who avoided the draft the first time could share our stories about how we did it. I know my story is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah.
We could fill up quite a few hours with that.
Oh, you bet.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the good old days, weren't they, Peter?
I don't know. I thought I was headed for Canada or some kind of a community service job in Buffalo, and neither one of those was terribly attractive to me, Billy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have quite a good story, too. I'll tell you someday.
All right.
So here's the problem I had today that I never could get by it, and that is that I'm a second-class citizen. Because if I ever go before Congress, I'm going to have to swear in, aren't I?
Yes, you will.
If I was the executive of an oil company or you see, when a Republican says that we don't need to swear in the attorney general in a Bush administration, even if he's a moderate like this guy, I got to tell you, I get the feeling that, well, I guess I'm going to get the usual Bush lies. You see, ever since that meeting of the energy meeting with Cheney, where Cheney took the $10 million,
mm-hmm.
did you know about it, that he took $10 million at that meeting?
No, I don't know about that. I know about the various meetings that we're not allowed to know about because, well...
But you heard me. I just accused him of taking $10 million bribe, right?
Right. So how do
so
we
the
know
only
that?
Way he can do anything about it is come up with the minutes to prove it didn't happen.
Well, but if you really want to blow that story open, you should suggest a sex act between an oil industry executive and the vice president.
No, that he would have to defend himself. And one of the oil industry. But we don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't want to go there.
You know, that's the thing. The second class citizen that we all are because we've been forced to accept. You know, one of these leaders like they do in Africa that's just a dictator, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. Now, Billy, on the point about swearing in, I'm not sure how long you've been listening today, but between 3:30 and 4, we talked with Tyson Slocum from Public Citizen. He testified before Specter's Judiciary Committee last week about profiteering by the oil companies. He asked to be sworn in, and Specter declined, and so he swore himself in. Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that amazing? You know, Arlen Specter has become a great disappointment to those of us who are from Pennsylvania. He wasn't a great moderate, but ever since the single bullet theory, he's been going downhill.
Well, and his super-duper-duper precedent, and also, you know, it was very clear that in order to get this job as Judiciary Committee Chair, he compromised himself. And we're seeing the evidence of that now. Thank you, Billy.
Thanks, buddy.
Good to talk to you. Another call coming up in a second, but Matt Renner dug up a new commercial from the Selective Service. Let's listen to this.
You know what? I'm really proud to be an American. That's why I registered with Selective Service. If you think about it, our country doesn't demand much from us. One of the few duties we have as young men living in America is to register with Selective Service when we turn 18. Why register? Because if you don't, you can miss out on college loans, job training, good jobs, and a driver's license in most states.
Wow.
Plus, it's the law. So register online at sss.gov or go to your local post office.
I mean, is that aimed at somebody with an IQ of 12? To think that there are benefits to signing up for the Selective Service as described in that propaganda piece? Holy cow, what a waste of our taxpayer money. Yeah, Matt, go ahead.
I was just going to say that the interesting part about that is, I mean, what is he saying there? He's saying register or else. I mean, there's no encouragement besides, you know, you're not going to get your driver's license and you're not going to get college funding, you know, college loan funding. The other thing that I just wanted to point out and is it's striking to me is that it's actually called the Selective Services, or the SS.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just...
That irony's been rich for many years.
Bad naming.
Oh, yeah. That and Homeland Security. Somebody needs to work on those. Peter B. in Monterey, thanks for calling. You're on the program.
He just dropped.
He just dropped.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then we have time. Do you want to play one more of those commercials?
Yeah, let's see what the next one is here.
All right, we'll listen to the next one.
Important that all Americans do their part for our great country. And we are a great country. The country of Washington and Jefferson, Cesar Chavez and Martin Luther King Jr., ballpark hot dogs and pickup basketball. So, if you're a man turning 18, take a moment to think about the people, places, and things that make America great. And then register with Selective Service at sss.gov.
That is really insulting.
Yeah.
To abuse the name of Cesar Chavez and connect him to ballpark Franks? Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, these are people who don't have a clue, and they're talking to others, I guess, who don't have a clue.
I mean, it's not offensive if you don't know who Cesar Chavez was.
I suppose not. Just amazing. They're proud to be Americans.
Yeah.
Sign up for the Selective Service.
I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of all the good things we've done. This television, free religion, and rock and roll, and an old Times Square, Jimmy Derrick, and Will Wells, and Smokey Bear, mass production, reconstruction, D-score, and lots more culture that we got to land. I'm proud to be an American.
By the way, the way, this song is tongue-in-cheek. That government propaganda message apparently wasn't. I'd like to hear from you. The next half hour is open for your calls. 831-899-5792 Central Coast. Call me toll-free from Eureka or anywhere else. It's 888-579-2540. A quick break, and we're back on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm proud!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And I want to thank the listeners of KRXA for giving a warm welcome to our new station. We're barely 6 months old. We got our first report card, and it was a very nice one. Thank you very much. Our music of the moment is from Alphaville in the mid-80s. It's called Forever Young, and I play it for all our draft-age listeners. We're taking your calls in the free speech zone, and I feel some panic in Detroit coming on. Stand by for Tommy Panic. 831-899-5792 is our number on the Central Coast. 888-579-2540, toll free from elsewhere. Carl from West Haven, thanks for holding. You are next. Hi, Carl.
There's so many things I'd like to talk about. It's hard to keep track. This administration does so many things wrong. There's just one after another. It seems like part of their strategy is to do so many things wrong, you can't keep track of them.
Carl,
I
share your frustration. It's very hard, and you do tend to feel that it's part of the design. You know, I call them the wrecking crew. The Bush administration has sent these people into every agency that could possibly benefit average Americans, whether it's the Department of Labor or the Interior Department for Native Americans and our natural resources. And left and right, they are dismantling the gains that were so hard fought and so hard earned over the last half century.
It's pretty bad. But so what that brings me to is there's so many things that have gone wrong that one thing I always keep thinking about is how the president is not held responsible or accountable to anybody, not to anybody in the public, not to anybody in the press, not to the Congress, not to the Senate, nobody. He never has to answer any questions or explain anything he does to anybody at any time ever. And not that this is completely different for this president versus other presidents, but it's definitely way more extreme now with all of his hand-picked audiences and hand-picked groups and the media he doesn't call on. And one thing I really wish we could do, and it's not going to happen in this administration, but maybe the next, is can't we implement something to the like Parliament's question and answer period where the president would actually have to stand up and argue for what he's trying to do and answer questions from Congress. Or, you know, I just can't believe that they can just do anything they want and never have to explain it.
Carl, you ever watch hockey on TV?
Not much.
Well, maybe if you watch sports, they did it in football, too. But one of the advances that came from Fox was putting the tail on the projectile. You know what I mean? Where you'd see a hockey puck go down the ice, and they came up with an electronic way to put a tail on that so it was easier to see, right?
Yeah.
And so the point I'm making is that if Fox were a left-wing network, they would put some kind of a truthometer on the screen when the president was delivering the truthiness of like the recent State of the Union message. And they would actually show you where he was lying. And, you know, what I'm trying to point out is that our television networks and the so-called journalists who pull down the high salaries are really not doing the job. And here's an interesting little reward that has been offered from Bob Furtick and the guys at Democrats.com. They're offering a $1,000 reward to any reporter who will ask a specific follow-up question of George W. Bush. And this refers to the so-called Downing Street memo, because, you know, the only time the question has been asked in front of the president was a joint news conference with Tony Blair going back a few months. And it was, of course, a British reporter who popped the question. It was last July 23rd. I'm not positive about that. I'm trying to scan this memo. At any rate, here it was. The White House... I'm sorry, June of 2005. That's when the question was popped to Bush and Blair. And so this is just one example of a glaring failure to demand accountability from this president on an issue that is out in the open. And what we see is that Tony Blair is busy trying to cover the president's tracks, for example, on the more recent issues that have surfaced about Bush's wish to bomb Al-Qaeda at their headquarters in Qatar, and more recently that surfaced over the last week that Bush met with Blair in January of 2003, and they were looking for one more act of provocation that they could pin on Saddam Hussein. And so Bush was talking about painting a plane with the UN insignias and colors, and then having us shoot it down over Iraq so that we could blame that on Saddam. Now, that's an example of the kind of thinking that this president has engaged in with his most favored ally. And we have a lapdog press corps that doesn't pursue that. Instead, we get a lot of cheesy stories and a lot of scorekeeping saying, well, the president sure is pushing back on that spying. He's winning on that issue. What a crock.
Well, doesn't it seem, I'm sure you've seen the questions and answers period for the prime minister. It just seems if we had something like that, that our president would actually have to articulate his point of view at some point, it would really help prevent all these things that are happening.
Well, I agree. I think that would be a healthy exercise, and maybe we'll see it sometime in the future. It's certainly not going to happen while Karl Rove remains
in
the
White
House.
There's no way it would happen with this administration. He's incapable of doing that.
Yeah. Karl, thanks a lot. I got to move along. I got a special report from Detroit. Ladies and gentlemen, we dispatched our in-depth undercover low-budget investigative reporter, Tommy Panic. We did? We sent him to Detroit? Come on, that's expensive.
Yeah, no, here I am. costume, just kind of hanging out, trying to take it all in. Do you realize, Peter, this is from 1980, the city of Detroit gave Saddam Hussein, remember, they gave him a key to the city for donating some money to a Catholic church. That is 100% correct.
Wow.
Really a bizarre place, and just the whole concept of the Super Bowl. It's almost entertainment for stupid people. Not that there's anything wrong with football. But we're talking about a manufactured event where stupid people say, you know, I got to be going to a Super Bowl party or what? You know what I mean? It's just one of these events. It's really odd. And you want to talk about the event in and of itself. It was easier to get around at the Republican convention in New York last year than it was here in Detroit around four field. A 300-foot perimeter cleared around the field. They also came through when they got rid of the numbers, astonishing. A lot of the homeless population, about 13,000 people in Detroit, Detroit, by the way, the poorest city in the country, rounded up, taken to shelters, taken to churches, in some cases told not to return to the streets ever. And what a lot of people saw who came to Detroit is hardly the Detroit that really exists. I welcome a lot of these people to come back in about a week and see what it's like, see how much bling they're seeing.
Well, you're right, Tommy. I was in Detroit just a month ago. And what occurred yesterday, and I'm glad you got a ticket, and I'm glad I didn't have to pay for it, was the largest concentration of rich white people in downtown Detroit probably in the last 20 years.
Exactly. And I didn't have a ticket. I had to work my way through the system of Ford Field, but I did get in, of course. But, this is another astonishing number, $30 million spent by the NFL on security. You had, you talk about one of the premier events in this country in terms of money, in terms of attention, and then when you're talking about SWAT teams, Homeland Security there, Federal Aviation Administration, there were bomb-sniffing robots.
Yeah.
There were probably guys that, like, have hung out with James Bond before at this event. There was so much money put into it. But here's the interesting thing is the administration looked into this, and they say, wow, that can really clean up a city. And unfortunately, the Super Bowl is already promised to Miami next year, some town in Arizona the following year, and then Tampa the year after that. But, hey, 2005? Or no, wait a minute. We're past that. 2010, excuse me. The administration would like to target Baghdad as a possible locale for the Super Bowl. It cleans up a city, maybe just temporarily, but they liked what they saw in Detroit, and they'd like to bring this great event abroad.
Wow, Baghdad in 2010 for the Super Bowl. Then I guess they could return that key to the city from Detroit.
Yeah, they've probably changed the locks by now, but yeah, or something. Yeah, they could go find him, and you know, he'd probably be dead by then. I'm sure he's been hung, shot, or whatever means of execution will meet him. I'm sure it will. But
well, maybe they could just put him out on an AstroTurf surface and tackle him until he can't take no more.
You could be onto something, but. Yeah, Detroit is a really an interesting place, and it's I recommend Americans come and check it out. Come and see a city that was once great. Come and see a city that 50 years ago the population was 2 million people here. Now it's 900,000. It's a much different place. It's kind of sad. It's a great example of the ruins in which the American auto industry finds itself.
Now, Tommy, this is a very revealing story about the seamy side of Detroit and the Super Bowl. Why is it that ABC didn't mention any of this in the coverage yesterday?
Well, the ABC was busy editing the Rolling Stones and what they were going to say. There were lyrics that were actually bleeped out by NFL.
Yeah.
The NFL really runs itself the way the U.S. government and this current administration perched atop it. Very, very, just striking similarities between the two. And we did look into this, the instant replay. I almost wondered, it was almost like a wrestling event in terms, it almost seemed like the outcome was predetermined before it began, also a little bit like a presidential election as of late. And we almost wondered with that instant replay and everything going against Seattle, if Diebold, you know them, if they weren't somehow involved with this instant replay thing.
You have to wonder. Tommy Panic, thanks for bringing the truth to us from Detroit, home of this year's Super Bowl. XL. Yeah. Extra large and extra loud. That's Tommy Panic and Panic in Detroit. I think that's a David Bowie song, if I'm not mistaken. 5:45 now. More of your calls coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA has a Valentine for you. Joan Kenley is bringing you her new Saturday show on KRXA 540. It's called Talking Matters, and you don't want to miss it. You may already know Joan as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or you've seen her on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, Good Morning America, or heard her on The Simpsons. Now Joan's brought her program to KRXA 540. Talking Matters starts Saturday, February 11th, 3 to 5 p.m. Her show will touch your mind, heart, body, and soul. Tune in to her Valentine special February 11th at 3, full of laughter, tears, and great ideas. You'll hear couples with heart-pounding stories. Joan will talk about the biochemistry of love hormones and the hot topic of emotional infidelity. Learn more at TalkingMattersRadio.org. And keep talking with Joan, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is KRXA 540 news anchor Casey Lynch, inviting you to join us for a new program, Coach Casey's Call, Saturday mornings from 11 to noon. The show is dedicated to promoting local athletes and the teams they compete for. Coach Casey's Call features in-studio guests as well as listener phone calls, giving you an opportunity to join in the discussion and support the local sports scene. Join us Saturday mornings, 11 to noon, here on KRXA 540 AM for Coach Casey's Call.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 548 now. We get one more report from Metro Diane.
We'll check in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Southbound 17 before Bear Creek Road. An earlier motorhome fire has been put out, so the roadway is now clear there. That's Santa Cruz Mountains, southbound 17 before Bear Creek Road. In Carmel, San Lucas Road at Portola Road, a vehicle actually went off the roadway there and into a ditch. So tow trucks are on scene working on getting it back up onto the roadway and out of there. In Watsonville, Ohlone Parkway at Loma Vista, a bus actually hit a fire hydrant, so the roadway is flooding there. This report is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service department. Toyota owners, right now, your participating genuine Toyota service center is giving away gas cards worth up to $20 with qualifying service or tire purchases. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details. I'm dying with traffic on KRXA 540.
Peter B. Collins.
5:49 now on this Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're taking your calls in the Free Speech Zone, 831-899-5792, Central Coast, North Coast, or anywhere else, 1-888-579-2540. Among the guests we hope to attract to the Peter B. Collins Show tomorrow afternoon, State Senator Deborah Bowen, who is our champion on these electronic voting machines. We were joking a few minutes ago about whether Diebold had some role in the instant replay. That was a bad call yesterday, and I'm not even an NFL fan. I couldn't believe that. Anyway, Deborah Bowen is chairing a hearing on Wednesday, February 8th, 9 a.m. And if you're an activist and you can get to the Capitol, it's in State Capitol Room 4202. And the question is, should open source software be used in California's electoral system? And I say, if we're going to have electronic voting machines and tabulators, that is a must. It's one of many. Well, it's interesting to see who's been invited. Gosh, it doesn't appear that the Secretary of State, Bruce McPherson, is going to be there again. We hope to talk to Senator Bowen tomorrow afternoon. We'll get more details on the hearing on Wednesday. Lisa in Eureka, thanks for holding. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thank you. The gentleman from Westlake kind of hit a lot of my points. This administration, when they came into power, said they were a corporate administration. Unfortunately, that's what they are. They're a corporate administration. Anybody who makes less than $500,000 a year might just corner the world here, where nobody really knows where it is anyway, and just hope that this administration doesn't negatively affect us.
So you checking out, Lisa?
Well, we're tired of it. We've talked about retiring out of the country because this country has just gotten so scary. And I don't know I don't even know if any politician can fix what this man has done. I just don't know.
Well,
but we've talked about it.
I understand your thought. And I the only reason I would try to dissuade you from leaving, and it is a place I'd love to go to sometime, so go ahead and find a place there and then drop me a line and I'll be there to visit.
We'll have Peter B. Collins from California visiting us in Tasmania. Well, thank you very much and keep it up.
All right, and until you leave, will you keep listening and keep
always
contributing?
Even if we leave, you can stream it on the Internet.
Yes, indeed. All right, Lisa, thank you.
Take care.
Dennis in King City, thanks for holding, too. You're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B.
Hi.
Hey, I just realized one of the reasons why the Republicans don't need a health plan. They don't have to worry about a heart problems because they have none.
Yeah.
And they don't have to worry about blood transfusions because there's plenty of piss and ice water in this country. I got the Judge Alito thing. I saw it on C-SPAN this morning. It'll be okay because the Democrats did a pretty good job. They only had 10 minutes.
You're getting me confused here, Dennis. It's not Judge Alito anymore. This was the Al Gonzalez.
Yeah, you're right. I did say that.
Gonzo Al.
Yes. And they only gave the Democrats 10 minutes, so they got right to it, and they all did pretty good. But you'll get sick to your stomach because you'll watch the Republicans just say the word protect, and he has, and just stick up for this lying president we have. And it just will get you upset, but you will be proud of some of the Democrats.
Yeah. But what's the bottom line, Dennis? Did they put a glove on him? Did he ever accept the notion that there may be some legal questions about this stuff they've done?
Well, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I didn't see any good punches landing.
Yeah.
See,
part of it is, if you heard my comments to the excerpt from Senator Feinstein, she starts off with this premise, and politically, I understand the premise, that rather than go in and try to disagree with the whole basis of the operation. It's an interesting debating tool or rhetorical device to say, well, everybody's in favor of spying on our enemies. And I don't accept that premise because I believe that there is a role for legal wiretapping and eavesdropping under FISA.
That's right.
But FISA authorized, if I'm not mistaken, the FBI to conduct domestic surveillance. And my big concern is the expansion of the whole spying community and the blurring of the lines between foreign and domestic activities. And that seems to be lost on the Democrats. They seem to be so eager to prove that they're as tough on this mislabeled war on terror as the Republicans that they want to pledge their fealty to the concept of spying domestically. And I'm not ready to embrace that in the broad terms that we've heard from many Democratic leaders.
Well, unfortunately, there's so many things we could talk about them not getting their hands on it, just like this second Downing Street memo. I heard one time, and we don't hear anything about it. We never hear anything more about the Project for New American Century. In fact, weren't you going to have a guest on that?
I'm trying to remember.
They didn't show up, I think, one time. I thought that's what I heard.
Yeah. Well, I will take this as a friendly reminder, Dennis, and you are friendly, and you are reminding me that it's time to do an update on PNAC. I do have, we just initiated an update today on the Carlyle Group, because I'd like to find out where they have placed their military industrial venture capital in the last year or so, to see if it gives us any indications of where the next global terror profit centers might
be
located.
Can I do one more thing?
I've got time. Go
ahead.
Okay.
I want to answer Brian that said that there was a general that said they saw him loading up weapons to leave Iraq. I saw part of that, and I heard him say, I was told. Now, my wife saw another one, and she said, he said, I saw. But this is pretty famous of the Fox networks. They always say, well, some people say, some people were told. And, you know, this Brian is an example of 20-year head start with diddleheads. And I don't know what we need Peter B. to come up with a title for a diddlehead foxhead combination. You know?
All right, I'll put the naming committee on duty for that. But I'm glad you brought this up because I have not really taken the opportunity to respond to Brian. He loves to call the program, and then he sends me a flaming email in all capital letters. And turn down the volume, Brian. I can read lowercase, too.
Let me give you one more example.
Just a sec.
Okay.
And he challenges me to research these stories that he thinks are so valuable and so true.
Mm-hmm.
So I took his word for it, and I spent about half an hour on the web last week. I believe this guy's name is General Adama, A-D-A-M-A. It's something close to that. And what is available even on the right-wing websites establishes that this guy is selling a book. He's
That's
promoting
right.
a book. And the book does not have any proof
That's right.
that these airplanes were modified. They were allegedly Iraqi air passenger planes where the seats were removed, and the so-called WMD were shipped in some 50 plane loads from Iraq to Syria sometime in 2002. These are all allegations, and in the right-wing news articles about this book, they acknowledge that the general offers zero proof of
Amen.
His allegations.
That's exactly right.
Dennis, you got 30 seconds. What
okay,
else?
Okay, there was one other examination example where they said that there was a general that was in the green room with Wilson, Joe Wilson,
yeah.
before all this hit the fan about his wife, and they swore that he said his wife worked for the CIA. That was another example that
yeah,
these right-wingers put out.
I know Joe Wilson well enough to know that that is flatly false. Thank you very much, Dennis. Thanks for wrapping up the show today.
Thanks.
I'm Peter B. Collins. We're going to do this again tomorrow from 3 to 6, whether you join me or not. So join me.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer.
Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Senate hearings on the NSA terror surveillance program began today. Delaware Democrat Joe Biden.
What's really at stake here is the administration has made assertions in the past where their credibility has somewhat been questioned.
It wasn't only Democrats beating up on the Attorney General. At the end of almost 8 hours of questioning, the Republican chairman, Arlen Specter, told Gonzalez his reading of the law defies logic and plain English, that warrants are required for all wiretaps, and it's not enough to simply claim that the president's war powers trump everything else.
Because that authority is not unlimited, and you've agreed to
that. I agree with
that. It's not a blank check.
Specter urged the administration to go immediately to the secret court that oversees national security wiretaps and seek permission for what it's doing. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The funeral for Coretta Scott King is tomorrow. Today, one final memorial. Oprah Winfrey was there.
Whether she spoke or not, I came away wiser, knowing more about how to live and what it means to be a real woman.
Have been lining up here since the early morning hours, about 7 o'clock or so. There has been a steady rain all day long. Temperatures have barely crept into the 40s, but that hasn't kept the crowd down. People here say nothing would keep them from coming here to pay their last respects today. Peter King, CBS News, outside Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta.
Prosecutors in Los Angeles say private eye Anthony Pelicano was building his own collection of dossiers on the rich and famous.
Anthony Pelicano, once a private eye of the rich and famous, faces federal charges of racketeering, including wiretapping, bribing police, and computer identity theft. Pelicano is in custody among those he allegedly spied on, actor Sylvester Stallone. Adrian Bard, CBS News, Los Angeles.
You know, life is interesting. Just ask Jane Ellen Smith of Corona, California. 1 minute, you're talking to a New York journalist like CBS's Tom Ryan on the phone about the wildfire that's giving your distant neighbors so much grief, and the next.
I know there are evacuations going on just over the crest, but we haven't been alerted for anything right now. So we, helicopters. I just saw a helicopter with water.